Oh, wait, it's me that's hot. Yes, I am.
You did sound a little loud.
I will be right back.
Okay.
Talk to the people.
I will talk to the people. Hello, people who are just me right now. But hi, people of the internet. Let me address you really quickly. Let's talk about... I'm not going to do that. I promised I wouldn't do that. So, would the people of the internet like to know my email messages? Because I'm going to read those while I'm waiting for people.
Has nobody showed up yet?
No one showed up yet. I think the people of the internet or whoever's editing this is probably not going to enjoy themselves for the next couple of minutes while that was going on.
Didn't you entertain everybody?
No.
No.
So it's just like if everyone was here.
Nice. Now, I know we're going to talk about, but did you see X-Men yet?
Yes. Okay. That was our sole outing for the entire holiday weekend. It's getting to that point now in Georgia where you just turn on the air conditioner and just leave it on. Just stop. Don't fool yourself opening the windows.
It's been like that since like February here in Florida, so.
Yeah, doesn't it drive you nuts?
No.
But you don't have allergies, do you?
Not bad allergies, no.
Okay, yeah, because see, perpetual spring would probably be a huge problem for me.
Let me just make sure that you can hear this.
Okay. Yes, the soundboard is Hangouts.
Okay, good.
Is Hangouts approved now? What did you have to do to get it to work?
I don't know. I think we have a viewer, which means that someone is using the wrong link, because the only people that know this is going on that have access to it are us. So if you are that viewer, use the other email I sent.
So I'm using the one where people watched.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
The viewer just showed up now.
Oh, okay.
I can't tell who it is because I don't know why there's no interface to that.
I get the feeling they're trying to talk right now, and they see us talking and they're trying to talk.
Oh, Widge has joined.
Hi, Widge.
Oh, it was Widge that was the viewer. Widge, were you the viewer?
No, he was the watcher.
Who was watching him? Although we can't hear him if he's talking, which is classic.
What?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, we were just perpetually talking over him.
No, I was just making sure that I was tuned down to audio only so I could function.
There's some drugs for that, by the way.
Yeah, and I'm on them, and they're good.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. Yay, drugs.
I must get some of them on Friday.
Drugs.
Were you the one who was over on the viewing side of it?
The viewing side of what?
Of the hangout.
Did you steal the wall, Widge?
I know it's another brick in the wall. I mean, all in you. All.
It must not have been you.
I didn't do it. Whatever it was.
I'm now having this visual of Scott talking and seeing the rest of us talking and not having any idea that no one can hear him, which is usual. So,
yes. Exactly.
All of y'all.
Yeah, there you go. It only makes sense.
Also, in case Scott is not on this show, Scott, you've been mentioned.
It's the obligatory Scott mention.
Well, I'm glad we got it out of the way early.
Brought to you by Mentos.
The fresh maker.
Can we actually sell this real quick to Mentos before we actually throw this out there?
I think I'd actually like to be brought to you by Mento, the guy from the Doom Patrol.
Well, okay then. We can do that.
I'm assuming he exists in the New 52. I don't know.
By the way, I do have to give it up. Stamkos has been killing it with the Rangers.
Yeah.
Which I know you're not terribly happy about, but...
I had no idea you were a Mighty Morphin fan.
I know.
I assume that's what you're talking about.
No.
That's okay. Did you mean Stamkos?
Yes. I did say Stamkos.
Stamkos sounds like a toy company.
Hold on a second. Is that right?
Are you sure they don't make...
St. Louis, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I'm pretty sure that Stamkos is still here.
Wow. They're taking them all, John.
What?
They're taking them all.
They came for my Vinny, and I said nothing. Then they came for my Martine, and I said nothing. And then they took my Steven.
No, that'll be next year.
Oh, it's sports. Okay, sorry.
Yes, Huey Lewis.
Oh, God. Okay, good. I love that album.
You need a new drug, my friend.
Oh, God, don't I ever. Me and my goddamn tolerance.
You need one that does what it should.
Yeah. What else do I need?
One that won't make you feel too bad.
You know what? What's hilarious is that song offended my parents because... they didn't bother to listen to the lyrics and assumed it really was talking about illicit substances.
I was going to say, so what did they do when Ghostbusters came out?
Well,
there's a viewer.
It didn't matter because in the song he did say, "I can't hear you." So he was just sort of ignoring everything, which is usually the best mode of action. Although I do need a new drug, actually. I have this terrible thing with like even not even just caffeine. I have a huge drug tolerance. I can just take massive amount of drugs and it doesn't make any difference. Like when I get something done like dental work, they would give me like the maximum amount of painkiller and go, "You can still feel that?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Well, that explains that 4 weeks when you were temporarily the Flaming Lips drummer.
Well, what can I say? The giant teddy bear costume was very comfy. And when I did have my kidney stone, they gave me morphine. They gave me the maximum dose of morphine, and I could still feel it. They were like, "You can still feel it?" I said, "Yeah, but I don't care," because it felt so good. It was a great feeling. I miss morphine. I wonder if it misses me.
It probably doesn't. It's just moved on, Wedge.
This should be interesting.
Damn it! What, morphine?
No. Which way is this going in? That's what she said.
Hopefully the right way.
Welcome to Need Coffee Drug Talk.
I'd like to point out the rock and roll doctor does not advocate drugs. He just prescribes them. One of my favorite Dr. Demento bits of all time. Turn your radio down. Sir, turn your radio down, please.
The viewer that's on the line, you need to use the other link that was sent.
What? Somebody's on the call.
Viewer, stop calling. We have a winner. Oh, wait. No. Sorry.
Am I here now?
No. You're not here now.
Oh, fuck you.
Can you define here and now as things?
Well, I think to quote...
I'm eating an eclair, and John, you cannot do anything with this.
Well, obviously you can't because you have it there, and John's not there.
It's highly pixelated as well, so if we wanted to Photoshop something, we can't make something clearer than the thing you are already putting into your mouth.
Can't swallow. Oh, my God. This is awful.
Oh, so after I swallow,
my husband brought me that.
So after I swallow, there is a little tingle on my tongue.
I bet he did.
So, John?
Yes, ma'am.
I am totally ignoring that part. John?
Yes, ma'am.
Was it your 19th or 20th anniversary?
19.
Oh, come on. It was one of the two. Which one?
19.
19
would be
I thought you were like 3 years behind us. So.
B.
Well, and it's...
And that's where we hold it. Oh, that's awesome.
What?
Huh?
Well... You went out of video. Your video stopped while you had the glass raised. And
I'm so glad I'm not watching video.
Proceeding to take a drink.
No, you're not, Widge.
No, I'm so glad. This is, you know what? It's like a theater of the mind. That's what's happening. I get to use my imagination.
So you guys are hearing me? It's all good? We're all right?
We are hearing you. I don't know how good it is, but we are hearing you.
We are receiving you.
Viewer, if you are on the line, you are looking at the wrong one.
How good is it?
Huh? What?
That's a loaded question there, John.
Tell me you got that.
See, like, you cut out, so I couldn't hear a word you said. If you are online, that's all I heard, which is really scary. And by the way, Coulson doll, I have a Coulson doll. Look at him.
See.
He's so cute.
You realize that's like a leftover Tommy Lee Jones figure from Men in Black, right?
No.
Oh, shut up. It is not. It looks so much like Colt. Look, he has a lot less hair.
Uh-huh.
A lot less hair than Tommy Lee. And there. And at least on mine,
yeah,
the glasses are a little crazy.
Oh, it's much
better. And look, see, it's got Coulson on the back.
John,
you've got her volume.
John, I can turn Lee down. Yes. It's so great.
So few people can turn her down.
I know.
Really? How can you turn me? You can't turn. Can you turn me off?
No, Lee, I don't think that's possible.
I think you need to go to the next question, Lee. Please get back.
I can mute her. Watch this.
There you go.
No, it's fine. If we can individually adjust everyone's need coffee, muted Lee.
This has become around the horn. When did that happen?
Wow.
And look what I found out. I can unmute when you mute me.
Some
we're
going
to spend the entire podcast with the two of them fighting over the controls.
I will
turn this podcast around.
You know, the best part, Widge, is I can actually just turn her volume all the way down.
Part of like
that.
I will also turn the beat around.
Can you? No, please, because I can't figure. I have got my microphone on like the lowest I can.
That's okay. No, Lee, I can turn you down. It's cool.
No, I need you to sound less excitedly.
It's all good.
Oh God, awesome. That's great.
What were you saying about drugs earlier?
There's no drugs. I could wish I could afford drugs. So, John.
Yeah.
John.
Yes.
So you're not going to be a Cub Scout master anymore.
I am not going to be a Cub Master anymore. That is correct. I'm an assistant Cub Master now.
No, so what is that going to mean?
I hold the kids down. Wait, no.
Whoa.
If for any reason the Cub Master cannot accept the duties of being Cub Master, then he takes over.
If someone should happen to assassinate the Cub Master.
I had no idea that Cub Masters were priests.
Or Miss America. Who knew?
Okay. Oh, no. Oh, God. John would look so awesome in a tiara. He would. He looks so
what?
Awesome. John will look very awesome in a tiara.
That's a Google Hangout we don't want. Can we just be viewers on that one?
I don't even want to view it.
Okay, wait, John, what is Google Effect? I am not gonna click on that use app until you tell me what it means. Okay, how do I get it like to move to each person? Because I'm only seeing Tuffley's face right now. Which is a very nice face, but
I'm sorry.
Bounce. No, I want to bounce around. How do I do that?
Lee wants to bounce around. Yeah,
I know. Click on his little box.
Okay.
Click on his little box.
And then it should unblue. It should un-outline. And then,
Yeah, there we go. Okay. So, do you guys want to hear the most embarrassing thing I said in the past 5 days?
Sure.
Okay, so my son, as we well know, has turned 15.
Okay.
And on the way to the DMV, we were talking about dinner that we were going to go to on his birthday dinner, which was Friday. And I said, because we're going to go to a Brazilian steakhouse. And I said, oh, John, that is the best Sierra ever. And I said, we're going to go to the place where you can eat all the meat you want. To which my 15-year-old turns to me and he goes, Mom, I don't think you meant that the way you said that.
That's a sexual reference?
See, but that's not an inaccurate statement, Lee.
No, it's not. But see, the issue then is I had to tell him that this is why John has a soundboard with like two rows that are only me. Because I say things and I don't mean what I say.
No, but you actually meant that, because a Brazilian steakhouse is where you can eat all the meat that you want. So really, I think, Lee, the problem is that your son has a filthy mind.
I thought it was a steakhouse without the hair.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
And by the way, he's driven a
You're
lot.
You're doing it
he's
wrong.
He's doing very, very well. He's doing very well. So he passed his test by the skin of his teeth. And, yeah, so he's doing very well. I've taken him out, and his dad has taken him out, and a friend of ours. So.
That'll
Which
make
is
him
probably
parallel,
against Georgia rules.
That don't make him parallel, do they?
What? Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. That's the driver's test. At 15,
so
you'll have to pass,
test.
Like, a written.
Yeah.
In Georgia.
You can get the book with, like, the answers in it?
No.
They have
Thank
that?
God he read the book, because he said he would have, like, failed the test without it.
Because I believe, and which, correct me if I'm wrong, Alabama had the test with the answer, the book with the answers in it.
Quite possibly.
Did it really?
Well, don't the books actually have the answers in them?
Oh, my God.
All of them?
No, the exact question answers.
Okay, well, that's...
Well, no, yeah, because they, like... So, in Georgia...
Georgia.
You have so many questions on, like, the policy and the laws, and you have so many questions on the signs. My son could not show what the I've shown up at a school sign is. John, those are really kind of sexy geek glasses, by the way. I'm just letting you know.
How many of those have you had?
Thank you.
One.
Okay.
Unfortunately. And one eclair, because I have, like, chocolate. Because it's awesome. Wait,
although she turned off video to obscure the fact that she'll have more than one.
I didn't do it.
What did you not
no,
do?
No, I didn't.
What?
Turn camera on. Well, it said I turned the camera off, but I didn't. See, there we go. My eclair that my husband bought me. Oh, awesome. What the hell? What?
What?
Oh,
there we go. So, how many people went to go see X-Men?
Main screen, turn on.
Shush up, John.
I didn't say anything.
Oh,
did you see X-Men?
I saw X-Men.
You didn't see the post I put up?
We did. Yeah.
My review of X-Men Days of Future Past. In summation.
Mm-mm.
No, I found the Ren and Stimpy clip with the history erase button.
Yeah, that was okay.
Oh,
so,
my review of X-Men Days of Future Past.
So wait a minute. hang on. Has everyone seen it?
Totally on there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. All right. So
my kids got confused.
For X-Men Days of Future Past. How great is it that they basically erased X3?
No. Not just X3. They erased X3 and Origins.
Not only did they erase X-Men 3, it was 2
and the Wolverine.
And 1. They did all three of them.
No, I understand. Wait, hang on. But understand, by showing Jean and Scott, they very specifically undid X3. They didn't specifically show a bunch of other stuff, John. They just specifically showed those two, as in, well, that was dumb, wasn't it? Now we fixed that.
Well, didn't they of automatically retcon the Wolverine since we saw Metal Claws?
No, because it depends on when he was back.
I kept asking myself that question in the future bits. In the future bits after they took the metal out.
Well,
supposedly in the and then Numa with bears.
Yeah, but you know, in the comic, he's lost the medal and gotten the medal back several times, so it's not like it's.
Well,
yeah, but wait, he didn't. But in Wolverine, the Wolverine Origins, the first one, he didn't get it until Stryker took him to the place, and that was in the 70s, 80s.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen in Apocalypse.
And this was in late 60s, early 70s. Yeah.
Because you realize Apocalypse isn't going to be the current continuity either.
They totally retconned everything.
Right, but hang on. Toughly, what were you saying?
I was saying Apocalypse isn't going to be current continuity either.
Well, if they do Age of Apocalypse.
No, the next film is Apocalypse. They announced it before it came out.
Why wouldn't they?
No, I understand that. I know there's a difference.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
Well, hang on, Lee. There's a difference between Apocalypse and Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, they're doing Apocalypse.
Okay, so not Age of Apocalypse, just Apocalypse.
They're doing Apocalypse. So,
what does that mean?
The next film is supposed to be
McAvoy. Stop. Toughly. Yeah.
Yes.
Stop.
But
for those of us that didn't grow up on the comics, what does that mean?
It's actually
to do Apocalypse and not Apocalypse.
No, Age of Apocalypse was this thing where a character went back in time and altered the past so that Xavier died. And so you go back to the future and like Magneto is running the X-Men and Apocalypse, who is this huge badass that you met at the end of the film or saw at the end of the film, has basically fucked up the entire world. His main thing is that he, apart from his massive amount of power that can change whatever, he also has his four horsemen, which generally has consisted of taking known characters and warping them to his own twisted ends. Most famously, of course, was Angel. So Age of Apocalypse.
Although I don't believe they'll have an Archangel because
Angel, the one with the wings?
Because they've killed off Angel already.
The wings, Angel?
Where do they kill?
Well,
off
no, Angel? They did not because they got rid of three. They've got rid of three.
Oh no! Didn't they kill Angel?
No, it's all retconned.
Hang on.
All retconned.
Yeah.
It's all retconned.
Didn't they kill Angel in Vietnam? Wasn't his
no.
in the pictures that Mystique was looking at?
But that's retconned. That's all changed. All that's changed.
No, that was in the 70s.
No. Wait. No, Angel.
Other
Angel. Angel as in Fly Girl Angel,
matter.
Yes. Well, hang on. Angel as in Fly Girl Angel, yes, is dead.
Okay.
But not Angel as in showed up in X3 blonde guy Angel. Warren. Okay. No, you're right.
Does anybody want to like go, I'm a fly guy. Doop, 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 doop. I'm sorry.
No, no one does, Lee.
Use the offspring sparingly.
Yes, many, many do. So, okay. So, no, I think the issue I had, first of all, with the movie, total retcon that kind of bothered me, i.e. the first three movies that you spent a lot of money on don't count. And second of all, I think there were so many things that I kept going, was that really available in the late 60s, early 70s, that it just kept pulling me out of the story?
Like what?
To such an extent that I couldn't.
Yeah, Roberta Flack was totally not in the 70s.
No, oh God, there were so many things.
So all the people with superpowers were fine, but the strange anachronisms that would happen because you had a world.
No, the people were. I will. You know, we've talked about that I can suspend disbelief on certain things, but on certain things I can't. And I think it was some of the computers. And there was something else, something with Nixon that really, really bothered me a lot.
Besides the fact that it was
I can't remember what it was right now. Besides
was it
the
that
fact
he,
that
was it that he lied to you? They
that
didn't tell you
me
the
a
truth?
Lot, but no.
Okay.
Whoop, 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 whoop. What?
I said.
What? Try again, hon.
Hey!
Hey! A child snuck up on John. Yay! Hey, sweetie.
And that, my friends, is the no prize of the show.
It's your favorite kind of Aunt Lee. Hi, sweetie.
She's gone.
Are they out of school yet?
Nope. So, X-Men.
Oh, X-Men. Mine is. Can I brag on mine for... No, wait. Can I brag on mine for a second?
Nope. X-Men.
All A's this semester. Which means he will get blue hair through Dragon Con. Because he has a little...
And
blue hair. There's another one. Yay! And both the children scared him. Hey, sweetie. But, Aunt Lee says hi. And he's got a 3.75 GPA at the end of his first year of high school.
So I'm convinced my kids could kill me at any moment. And I would never.
Well, yeah, they would. They could.
Yes, they could.
Sneak right up on me and
they totally
slit my throat.
They just need to work on. They just need to work on getting me a wallet with one of those liquor bottles.
No, really, they could hit him over the head with one of those liquor bottles. It would be fun.
Well, no. The trick is getting to the wallet without them noticing.
Oh no! John just opens that wallet for those two. They're so cute. They're so cute.
There was a pause for a moment, and the parents had to think about, do we really want to advocate this? No. Okay.
No, it's all right.
So.
John, you ready to teach my kid how to drive?
Oh, dear God. So, X-Men.
Okay, so we're going to talk X-Men.
So, the thing about X-Men that bothered you.
Bothered her so much she can't remember any of it.
But no. I can't. There were little things throughout the movie that kept taking me out of the movie. And there were so many of them that I... Yeah. Why is John, like, twirling in his chair?
Ignore me.
And why all of a sudden does he kind of look like Nixon?
Well, the main thing for me was...
John, do you have dogs?
Oh, no, that means we just have to stop recording for 20 minutes.
Widge, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Widge. The main thing for you
the main thing for me was that I was sufficiently entertained to the point where I actually went, okay, I fucking hate bone claws, but yes, you sort of have to have bone claws, otherwise the fight, you know, there would be fighting between Magneto and Wolverine a lot faster than there was.
I love the Fassbender line too.
Yeah.
Yeah. JJ.
There were some great lines throughout the movie. Oh my god.
Hang on.
Hi, JJ.
Thank you, Lee. Hang on a second. JJ, okay, are you there?
Turn me down more.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Have you seen X-Men?
Hi, JJ.
I have not, but I'm also having apparently some bandwidth issues.
You can turn your thing down so that it's not consuming as much bandwidth if you're having bandwidth issues. There's a little.
Yeah, I've turned it down. I've turned off my camera, but I'm not hearing you guys very well at all.
You're down all the way to audio? Audio only?
Yes. And I'm trying to make sure that I'm on the right mic as well.
You do sound like you're on the right mic.
Yeah, you sound fine.
You sound fine.
Yeah, you sound really good.
Okay. I lately have had a little bit of trouble with. Yeah, now it's telling me there's an error loading. Yeah.
We're hearing you fine, so yeah. If you can deal with the fact that we're horribly in your ears.
But we're like that anyway.
Thousands of people do every other week, so.
I will linger for a bit.
I still can't see other people when they're talking.
You what, Lee?
You were saying, JJ?
I still can't see other people when they're talking.
Stop it! Like, Lee. I mean, JJ, you were saying?
Oh, I will try to linger for a bit, and if you guys stay all robo, I might, out of frustration, leave before I go absolutely mad.
As opposed to just partially mad, like you are now.
Exactly. Slightly mad, like Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
I assume that you've tried rebooting your router, right?
I actually don't have that option because I am currently on a free Wi-Fi from my building.
Well, I mean, you could just go throw the breakers for the whole building, and that would reboot it.
Oh, my building's so old that it actually has glass fuses down in the basement.
Nice.
Well, just
so then it only takes a hammer.
Just find the ones where the kids are playing the console games and cut them off.
Yeah. Cut the blue wire. The blue wire, JJ!
Yeah, that'll teach you to have a fucking Xbox One. Go.
Oh my god, I'm sitting just like John. Stop. Stop, John. No.
What?
I don't know what she's talking about. Like John. We both had our arms above our head. I am not going to do that anymore. Stop it. Jeez. Stop it. So, I liked it, but I didn't love it. Does that count for X-Men?
No.
We're back to X-Men again?
Yeah, we're trying. We're doing our best.
We're trying. No, I mean, it wasn't as good as First Class, in my opinion.
No.
No.
But dear God in heaven, it literally, Fassbender and Jennifer Lawrence are amazing in these two movies. And I have to say, McAvoy and Patrick Stewart, when they were doing that head-to-head, I was like, look at their noses! Oh my god, they could be related. I was like, oh, their little noses, they look like totally related.
Please tell me you didn't make that noise in the cinema.
Was that an interpretive dance?
God, I hope not.
I'm so glad I don't have video. Cinema? No. So, who saw Godzilla too?
Me.
I did.
I loved Godzilla. We loved it. No!
No.
I had a blast.
I enjoyed X-Men better than Godzilla.
No, I'd rather go see Godzilla again than X-Men.
No. I'll tell you why. Because basically...
Why?
Two reasons. Number one, humanity did nothing in that. We basically...
Yeah.
No, I understand that. But that's not... That doesn't make it a good movie. That basically, you could have removed...
Because Godzilla is the hero.
No, I understand that. But you could have removed all of the human characters from that movie and had the same movie.
So it's the Transformers then.
Yeah.
Basically. And
it was fine.
No, it wasn't. Because basically, if all you have to do, Lee, this is me talking, you can stop.
I'm listening.
No, I know, but you don't have to say yeah every single second. Good God, there. Take some decaf, woman. All right, so the problem is this. Your lead guy is a bomb expert, right? He is supposed to defuse bombs. That is all he is there to do. Conveniently, is to defuse the bomb that humanity itself created as its own menace, okay? And then they determine that the plastic lid on the little timer fuse thing is stuck. In an entire city demolished and full of debris, they cannot find a single fucking thing they can use as a lever to pry that fucking plastic lid off of the bomb. And instead, no, we need to take it to the harbor. No, you don't. When he took the hook, I was like, thank you, fuck, yes, pry the fucking plastic. Oh, no, you're just pushing the boat away from the, you fucking idiot. I'm like, oh, well, it'll take you 60 seconds to do it, and yet you cannot get to it because of a plastic lid. Very lame.
Tupperware is very, very tough.
So, Widge, I'm sorry. Wait. Widge?
Yeah.
Widge. You had more issues with that than the female kaiju taking the nuclear bomb and kind of holding it to her uterus and using it as a vibrator?
Well, see, Lee, number one, I don't think about kaijus and vibrators like you do. I don't know how.
Did you see what she did in that movie?
I don't know.
Which nobody thinks as much about that as she does.
That's true. I mean,
no,
Lee, just you. It's just you. I mean, I had problems.
It is not just me. Lee,
it's just you. Now, first of all, she just likes to make noises while I talk. She figured out she can't tromp on me because we're on Google Hangouts. So she's just going to go, I'm going to try it next time she talks. It'll be fun. So anyway, what? See? Oh my god. So no, I did have problems with them like gnawing on them like they were, you know, Twizzlers or something. That was kind of insane. I'm gonna eat nuclear weapons. Like, okay, that was a little weird. Also, here's a pro tip. If you're going to move your weapon that you're going to menace a bunch of humanity with and not really do anything else with, and you have giant monsters that are traipsing across the country, if you can transport it by helicopter, which was proven later in the show, why would you take it through on a train, which is a linear thing, which the tracks basically, if any of the tracks go fucked, then you cannot move any further. Why would you do that?
Chugga, 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 chugga.
No, no, no.
I don't
know. No more sexual references.
That was not a sexual
reference. Oh, okay. But things like that really bother me.
No, it didn't make sense.
That thing like that really bothered me.
But see, when the thing is that Godzilla saved us all.
Yeah, which was stupid as well.
Which made me happy.
Which was dumb because
the giant lizard saved us all.
I understand that, but it was dumb.
Dude, well, I will continue. I was a first child. I will continue to talk. You know better.
Okay, hang on. Let me just. I'm going to turn you off on my end. Perfect. Okay, I can't hear it all now. So what I was going to say was, basically, the problem that I had with that was at the end where they showed on television, it says, oh, King of the Monsters saved us all. I'm like, bullshit. The news wouldn't have said that. That was the hokiest fucking thing I've ever seen. It was ridiculous.
TMZ would have said that.
What's that?
Well, TMZ would have said that.
Yeah, but they weren't watching TMZ.
Fox News, yes.
No, they couldn't get Godzilla in an elevator. That's why they weren't watching TMZ.
And then they would have had something else.
Well, they couldn't get him in Madison Square Garden either.
Fox News would have said that, and then they would have had something else.
It was better than the 98 Godzilla. That's for damn sure.
Which Riff Tracks is doing.
Listen to me.
Yes, I saw that.
Did you see that? Yes. That's awesome.
So, yeah, I had problems with it. It was gorgeous. I also by the way, here's my other problem, Lee. Is it basically if you're going to have a kaiju movie?
You can't hear me.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Let me turn you off again. Now you're gone.
There you go.
No, I turned her off again. Basically, if you have a kaiju movie and you're going to have kaijus fighting, show me the fucking kaijus fighting. Don't cut to a television screen where I get to see it for 10 seconds and then move on to more people who are doing things that really don't matter in the course of the entire film.
Well, it's kind of like Street Fighter.
The movie with
it's just like the kids who gather around the video game.
The kaiju fought, and you saw it.
Yes, at the very end, Lee.
John, make him listen to me.
I'm listening to you now.
She did.
You
but that was awesome.
Lee is pouting as she says this.
Got it.
The fight
you
at the end.
Saw the kaiju fighting.
Yeah, I did. I saw it at the end, and it was great. But it literally got. I was like, I cannot believe we're going to see more of the kaiju fighting on television than we are for real until the very final battle. And instead, all we got to see was like miles and miles of destroyed buildings. I'm like, really?
I loved it.
Lee, I'm glad you loved it. I wish I could have loved it.
What I would
look,
see the most
I
important
love
thing
anything where mom
to back you up and then talk over me.
It's not just me. Lee's just
fuck it. You're
everyone.
On your own, Lee. Fuck that movie. I was on your side, but fuck it. No,
I'm
that movie
sorry,
sucked.
JJ.
Now.
JJ, no, come on.
Lee, you just
I'm
got
so
fastball specialed, okay?
Oh, fantastic.
If I may.
JJ, I'm sorry. Come back.
I'm trying to.
Yes,
if I'm, and what the fuck speed are you on tonight, Lee? So what I was going to say is the most important thing about the kaiju attack, though, and the reason we have to focus on the ending is because there is so much radiation now in San Francisco that it causes our two main actors to mutate not only into Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch,
nice.
But go from husband and wife, brother and sister.
Well, they could have done that in, like, some of the southern states, actually.
Stop that.
Well, you know how many times they've detonated a nuke on 24 over Los Angeles, over and around Los Angeles, so it's the same thing.
But Godzilla spewed something out of his mouth. It was awesome.
No,
he
Lee
does.
It was Jägermeister. Awesome. Just stop.
Lee, that was great. The whole light-up tail thing and then blam. That was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. The ending fight was great, but I was just like, why are you – I'm like, that is the most cock-teasing kaiju movie I've ever seen. It's like, come on. Give me something here. Don't make me wait until the end. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but what I will say is I know that, Widge, you liked monsters a lot more than I did.
Well, but for the for a different reason than I think I mentioned, the reason I liked it was simply because I really appreciated what he was able to do with nothing.
That's true. That's right. That's right. We've talked about it before.
So, like, story-wise, I wasn't crazy about it. Acting-wise, it was okay. The ending was just really bad. But, I mean, from the standpoint of an experiment in filmmaking, I was really impressed with it. That was my take on it.
But I think that the weaknesses that were in Monsters really are the weaknesses that screamed in Godzilla. But as I've said before, I have a genetic joy of watching lizards destroy shit. I mean, it's deep in, I don't even know where, it's like in my cockles and subcockles. So I am going to have fun. I had fun in the Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie.
Yep.
I mean, part of the problem too was that there sadly was not a lot of lizard destroying shit. There was a lot of the Mutos destroying stuff, but they're not lizards.
But the issue there was that Godzilla saved us.
Okay, if I wanted Godzilla to save us, I would just go back and watch Godzilla 2000 again, which was utterly brilliant.
Hey, wait, couldn't you just go back and watch the cartoon? He saved you every week.
Godzilla!
No, not as good as Godzilla 2000. Godzilla 2000 had one of the best ending lines in all of cinematic history.
And you had Godzuki, exactly. And you had Godzuki.
Oh, did it really? What was the end line?
The end line was... You know, I guess there's really a little bit of Godzilla in all of us. At which point, Godzilla started fucking up the city. It was, I howled. I just almost died from laughter. What? Oh, hi, Rox.
What?
Hello.
Hello.
See, I don't think I've seen Godzilla 2000, and it might be a good idea.
No.
Hi, Rox.
Hi, Rox.
Lee, you need to see Godzilla 2000. JJ, you've seen Godzilla 2000, right?
I saw it at the theater.
Oh, I did. That was hilarious.
Exactly. It was amazing.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
he just destroyed the city and he saved us.
What?
Rox, John, or Widge, are we going to go see Sharknado together?
What?
What?
Where?
Where?
When I'm there? It's coming out in the theaters in July.
Are they? They're doing the riff tracks again.
The riff tracks in Sharknado.
No, there's a god.
Yeah, the riff tracks in Sharknado as well.
Sharknado in New York.
Lee, what is that bunker you're in? Lee, are you in a bunker?
What is that? There's the bookshelf. That's my bookshelf.
Okay.
And here's Coulson.
No, she really is.
How come he's not out of the box?
Because I only have one yet.
Because she likes Coulson in her box.
Her little box.
It's a tiny, tiny box.
It is a little box.
Frightening.
I also have Black Widow.
Yeah, but
an actual Coulson doll or is it a Coulson-shaped vibrator?
It's a bobblehead thing.
The answer is yes.
It's the Pop Funko. It is the Pop Funko agent.
What you're saying is the head move?
So Shield is the first one.
I also like the
number 53.
Pop Noizo.
You know, for somebody that collects, you know, urban toys, I don't like those. They should be funner, and they're kind of weird.
Well, see, here's the thing. My lovely little Funko, which I do love. This was in
books.
The one on Sideshow that I really, really want is $259.
Wow. Wow.
Widge, why are you laughing?
Because I love it when you comment on your little Funko.
Widge.
My little Funko.
Yep.
Widge, why are you laughing?
Like I said, I love it when you comment on your little Funko.
You're talking so much, you're not even listening to your answers.
All right, Lee, how come you're... All right, why is it you're not taking him out of your little box?
Because then he's going to escape, Rox.
As soon as I get my second one... No, I have to have two.
Well, double Coulson. Double Coulson! I love it!
There's
always one that is meant in box.
Wait a minute. Tuffley, Coulson's mate asexually. You know that.
Yes, I know. It's weird. And if you stab them, they come back.
No, he's not.
I can't get it out.
Only with a big spider thing.
Oh, we need the brain spider place. Lee is.
I love the finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Lee, we need to talk about
the finale.
No, I'm not. Okay.
Did we already talk about S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I haven't seen the last two episodes.
What?
We can talk about it. I think you did. But the issue about S.H.I.E.L.D., I have to say, is did anybody else think that Bill Paxton got, all his fiber for the rest of his life during those last two episodes?
Bill Paxton was a god.
He was chewing scenery. Oh,
yeah. He was amazing. Huge.
Once he
Bill
had
Paxton
to stop.
Was a god.
Oh, my God, Lee, what are you on?
It is amazing.
Once he had to what, Tuffley?
Who wound her up?
He's only listening to every other thing that people say.
It's. I don't think Sunkissed 10 has that many drugs. By the way, that was brought to you by Sunkissed 10.
They put drugs in Sunkissed?
Oh.
I know. Well, Mad Men said so.
JJ?
Oh, well.
Yes?
JJ? He's now afraid. Lee, thanks.
I watched all of the things that you helped me legally acquire. And we so need to talk about him.
God, how much porn did you give her, JJ?
I'm gonna be in,
from the sounds of it, a lot.
Is it dwarf porn?
Yes.
Have the boilers been repaired?
Her Funko is exhausted.
No, I don't like dwarf porn.
Wow.
She doesn't like to watch herself on film.
That's amazing.
John, tell me you got that.
I'm getting all of it.
I've missed you guys, and yet I'm here.
Roll we missed you every time.
Funko. Today, we'll have a Funko of fun.
I was thinking today, oh my God, I've missed all my friends on Weekend Justice, and then I'm here.
Uh-huh. Okay, did you say you didn't see Hannibal?
Were you trying
to say?
Go ahead, JJ.
I was just trying to ask Lee, were you trying to imply that you were coming this way?
No, I'm not coming to you. I'm stopping in the middle of the U.S. tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, because last time you came this way, I was
less high than you are now.
And that's saying something.
What?
I know.
What?
Dude, I'm not at all.
Please,
I just missed all of my friends. I'm like hugging the internet.
So entertaining. Ooh, that's all life.
We need Aaron to call drunk now.
Yes, we do. Where's drunk Aaron when we need him?
Okay, so we need Aaron to call.
Wearing... No, we don't need drunk Aaron. Oh, okay. God.
We need Aaron's evil twin, drunk Aaron.
Wait. I want to hear what Lee wants to know what nothing. We're wearing. You know I barely wear anything on this show.
No, I was going to know.
We're on Google Plus. It's the AOL of this decade.
But I was wondering how many of us.
How many of us are what?
I was wondering how many of us.
As stoned as you? None of us.
Either glasses or corrective lenses.
I do. Right now.
Which?
Oh, yeah.
John rocks me.
I'm viewing all of this with my own naked eyes.
Wow.
Yeah, but are you doing it effectively, Tuffley?
I may need to get something after this.
Yes.
I just like to point that out.
So I can't see anymore.
Keep it up, Tuffley. You'll go blind.
Don't stare directly at Weekend Justice.
Tuffley, keep it up, because I'll come over to your house.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes?
It'll take me 8 minutes to get there, dude. Be good.
To answer your question, Lee, I am nearsighted and I have astigmatism, so I can't.
Oh,
see
I do too.
I've
got astigmatism.
Yeah, Lee, I basically I put my contact lenses in to take a shower because I won't be able to function. I'll be like, "Where's the shampoo? Oh my God, I'm in the laundry room. What the fuck happened?"
Oh my God, Roxanne hit it again because I couldn't wake up.
I don't do the shampoo. I do the shaving cream.
You put that in your hair?
When I don't have my contact lenses.
What the hell are you doing with that?
Oh, I'm sorry. My son has a lacrosse. He's taking lacrosse camp, and he was playing with it.
Lacrosse camp?
Wait, you see, the shaving cream is foamy, and it adds volume to his hair.
Duncan, bring that here for a second.
Bring it here, boy.
Bring me that so I may swatch you with it.
No.
What?
No.
We're hearing like one third of a conversation.
Oh, he's driving? Wow.
Don't encourage her.
He is driving.
All right. So, okay, let me do this real quick. Listeners, if you're anywhere near these areas at these dates, you can see me live in these cities. Atlanta, June 5th through June 9th. Huntsville, Alabama. As Lee's moving that back and forth. June 9th through the 12th, Knoxville, June 12th to 15th. Chapel Hill, North Carolina, 15 through 18. Waynesboro, Virginia, 18 through 21. Philadelphia, 21 to 23. Poughkeepsie, New York, June 23 to 29. Cleveland, Ohio, 29 to July 2nd. Kansas City, St. Louis, July 2nd to the 6th. Kansas City, July 6th through the 9th. Oklahoma, the 9th through the 12th. Denver, July 12th to the 14th. That's going to be a stretch. Oh, I think I changed that. It's going to be Minnesota.
What?
Anyway, there's going to be a Minnesota visit there. Denver, I think, is out. And then I go to Seattle, July 14th through the 17th.
But just to clarify, Rox, you're feeling California, right?
Yes, eventually. Portland is the 17th through the 20th. San Francisco, 20th through the 22nd. Some of these are travel-y things, so you can wave as I'm on the train or something. Tucson, probably 23rd. Las Cruces, 23rd to the 25th. Houston, 25th through the 28th. Tallahassee, 28th to the 29th. I can only deal with one Scott, one night only. Tallahassee.
You can only deal with Tallahassee one night.
That's right, yes. And then Tampa.
What? Where?
John, yes. 29 to 31. When are you going up for DreamCon? What day? Can I
DreamCon does not exist.
Yes.
DreamCon.
Just say yes.
DreamCon does not exist.
It doesn't? They didn't sell?
No. It's a Conjure, presented by DreamCon.
Yeah, I did the logo and I can't remember. So Conjure is August 1. So can I get a ride from you from Tampa to Conjure?
No.
She was busy doing her own.
Absolutely
promo, so
not.
She couldn't remember yours.
Yes, I know. Conjure, everybody, come to Orlando. Here's the thing, people. If I get these dates down and I travel all the way across America this year, guess what? I will go to Britt, Iowa next year so I can officially put my name in the hat to be voted Hobo Queen because I traveled. Yes? Yes.
To answer your question, yes. I will be going I'll be heading up the 31st.
Yay! Can I get a ride in your car?
What day of the week is that, the 31st?
It's like a Thursday, because the convention starts on a Friday. Hooray!
He wasn't trying to really make music with his friends. They just had the pot.
Yes. Toughly, what is this circle-y thing with the feather? Is this your, like, whatever thing? What is
it's
your symbol for the SCA?
Yeah, it's the old SCA.
I thought it was
It's
Deadpool.
The old SCA coat of arms, and it's also Deadpool. Oh, it can be both.
Oh, look at that. That's clever.
That's why I did that. And I could get away with it, and they researched it, and it was period. So
I was looking at a thingy, it was Deadpool.
I often look at a thingy and think it's Deadpool.
Disney.
Yes, so that
Rox
you
has her
work.
Glasses on. She looks really sexy, guys. I'm just letting you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can't do anything else with it these days, so I figured I might as well just use it somewhere.
Oh, so are you still in SCA? Are you like a Majesty?
No.
Were you ranked? Were you ranked in the WWF of the SCA?
I don't know.
You weren't yes, like I a
was,
prince?
I was the Intercontinental Champion for 3 months. now, me and Jericho, man. no, I had a title, but I can't remember what it was because it was stupid. So they gave me something for being nice to somebody one time. The one time I was nice to somebody. So.
Okay. Are you still doing that?
No.
Who are you nice to?
Apparently somebody high up that can give awards.
Wow.
Good boy.
That's the trick.
Don't ever be nice to people.
That's the trick.
So you got to get up at 4 a.m.?
No, you know what? No, I didn't.
Yes, I do.
Wow. Better you than me. Lee, I'm feeling better, just so you know.
Well,
I can tell.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. I can just tell that. That's a good thing.
Thank you.
I'm feeling better too. I haven't planned anybody's death for a while.
I can't say that. I had a terrible day at work.
I'm sorry. Where are you working now?
I don't want to say where because I want to have the freedom to talk about my job.
Oh, okay. Well, what is your profession?
I work.
That you get money for.
Yeah,
imaginary job.
It's the same
Did we lose him?
Did we lose him?
Oh.
JJ, you there?
Are you there? Call us from beyond. Oh,
JJ, gone. If you can hear us, why don't you
knock twice.
Did you dump Lee to try to get JJ back?
No, JJ, Lee left on her own. JJ's here twice.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, it dropped connection, so what?
I've always wanted to Colossi.
Yeah.
What Colossus is?
I wonder how to make one of me go away.
I can make one of you go away.
I've been trying to figure that out for years.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wait, if you leave that one up, we'll try to talk over the other one, and then it'll be a decoy. It'll be fine.
Nice.
I was just going to say I work in freight now. It's the same company that I worked for before, but rather than doing postal stuff, I do freight.
Oh, okay.
So I work in a warehouse and drive a truck and a forklift and shit.
Oh.
Manly job.
Okay. Cool. Cool job.
And what happened today?
I dealt with someone very difficult. One of the aspects of my job is I go into people's houses and take their shit and take it to a warehouse to pack it up for them. And then one of the person that we dealt with today was just incredibly difficult and crazy.
Oh my gosh, this is horrible. Not your job. However, my eye calendar.
Enough just, about you, JJ.
It's not about you. My calendar just told me that Weekend Justice is right now.
Oh, shit.
We should probably all get on the line, then.
Like an hour late.
Run away.
Is it now?
It's now.
Oh,
but it's an hour late. How did that
happen? John, start recording.
I will now.
hit the button now.
I have a question for all of you Boardwalk Empire people.
Yeah?
Do you know who Charlie Cox is? He was apparently a regular on season 3.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know their names.
He was the lead in Stardust as well.
Okay, he's Daredevil.
Really?
I am reading Variety right
now. Wait, who was he in Boardwalk?
He was Nucky's right-hand man after, yeah.
Oh, he was the one found in the box.
Yes.
Oh, he was cute.
Oh, and you mean Daredevil, the Netflix series, right?
Yes.
Oh. Yes. Oh, that is the only Daredevil now.
So Marvel's gotten into doing Netflix series?
Where have you been?
What?
Yeah, they're going to do 4 of them.
Wow.
They're going to do Daredevil and I think, is it Jessica Jones?
And Luke Cage
and Iron Fist.
Yes.
Oh.
And then apparently that leads up to they're doing a Defenders miniseries.
Yep.
Oh.
So technically it's 5 shows, but.
Yeah.
Our show of shows.
And then if it eventually becomes a Heroes for Hire show, I will be incredibly happy.
Oh, okay.
It'll be like Christmas Day for you. Get it?
So Lee's not here, and it'll take forever for her to even watch it. Oh my God, there was so much blood on Hannibal.
So is this when you invite your coworkers to dinner? It doesn't end well. Is that what happens?
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. But it was done in such a way. Like, this one woman gets pushed out of a window, and the way they shot it. This is why I hate CBS. CBS needs to look at how other channels film shows. They're still stuck on Murder, She Wrote. We've gone over this. But there was just so much blood on this show. I'm thinking, holy crap. It was like artistically done, and it was freaking amazing on how much they got through on this show. And the ending was really, really interesting. I was wondering apparently it's coming back next year.
Well, it's coming back next year, but Fishburne's got an ABC show, doesn't he?
That I don't know. That I didn't read into any of that, but I mean, I was wondering if they were going to skirt into how they were going to get around the whole Silence of the Lambs thing, but I guess it's going to go off to whatever they're going to do. It was an interesting show because it turned into a psychological, if anyone watched, what was that?
Hey Rock.
Sessions or something? Yes.
So chronology wise, is this between Red Dragon and what?
They're on their own thing because Hannibal. Because
it looks like they were playing with bits of Manhunt, the Manhunt film.
Yes.
And then bits of Red Dragon and
the and film. bits of Hannibal actually, because the Vergers don't show up until Hannibal.
So I was trying to figure out where in the continuity of the books this show is supposed to be in. Because we're not hitting Silence of the Lambs, so Clarice doesn't show up. So.
No, and the thing is he hasn't been caught.
Exactly, so that's what I was trying to figure out.
But I was interested that they gutted, Hannibal gutted, what's his name? Just like he did in prior to Red Dragon.
Yeah.
Because Red Dragon, Hannibal was already caught, and everything is played as this is what happened. So they don't even have the visual in the books.
Yeah.
So they just say it's all hearsay of this is what had happened, that.
Well, I'm curious.
That little thing, and
I'm curious to see what they do with season three, because they pretty much did this season like they knew they were going to be canceled.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested to see that now that they're not canceled, how they're going to write themselves out of it.
I don't. That is going to be.
Not all of them can live, Rox.
No.
Not all of them can live.
No. Well, we saw that by, Hannibal killing what's her name. I was amazed at the whole Abigail thing. It's like, okay, wow. I mean, there was just. It was an interesting, wow, what did you guys pull off type thing. I know somebody, it wasn't Slate, but it was like, they thought it was like a near perfect hour of television. Well, it's not really an hour. It's like 50 minutes.
Well, again, it was, they constructed the entire season as if this was going to be it.
Yes. Yeah, because Bella would have died.
Yeah.
Or she would have been, I mean, Silence of the Lambs, Bella's already dead.
Yeah.
And even that's played in flashback. Will Graham is a destroyed man at the end of Red Dragon, pretty much.
Yeah.
And at the Silence of the Lambs, because his face was gouged up by the Tooth Fairy. So he's a character that just would get totally messed up.
Well, they completely. I think I said before how disappointed I was that Harris missed out, because I thought Hannibal, the book, was going to be about Will Graham coming back to go after, because he said, one of his previous victims was going to come after him. And I thought, wouldn't it be awesome if Graham basically went rogue and went after Lecter with Clarice stuck in the middle That would have been fantastic, but of course, no.
Right, it was somebody totally different.
I can sort of see that would be a possible direction season three goes in, without the Clarice part.
Yeah.
Because I think you jump the shark if somebody tries to bring Clarice in, because it's too...
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they can... there's some weird legal thing...
Can
right.
they not because they don't own the rights to the characters in the films?
Right.
Or Silence of the Lambs?
It's Silence of the Lambs. Because, what is it, Maria De Laurentiis somehow is produced, and the De Laurentiises are the ones that produced Silence of the Lambs.
They produced the Michael Mann movie and Hannibal.
Oh, okay, that's it.
So they produced the two films around Silence of the Lambs because they didn't produce Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
So I think that's it. They can't use anybody from that appeared in the actual
Now, do they have the rights to the Red Dragon that Ralph Fiennes was in?
I don't know if they do.
Okay.
Because it went back and forth. MGM did two of those.
Oh.
Was it MGM UA that did two of those?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because I know they did Silence of the Lambs, and I think they did another one.
Is it that prequel horrible one?
Hannibal Rising or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Because there were like two different studios that had the rights at one point.
Huh.
Well, MGM had Silence, and I don't know about. I don't know who else.
Manhunt was an indie, wasn't it?
Yes, that was that was an 80s indie film.
Yeah.
Because I know.
That was right before Miami Vice. That was before Michael Mann did Miami Vice.
Yeah. And, I mean, it even showed up, I think, in Vanguard. When Cinemax was showing Vanguard Cinema, I think it showed up in that, in their time slot. Because it was just too out there. But it was an interesting psychological type take on all of it. I mean, it was still gripping, and you're right, I was surprised to hear that it was coming back. And the thing is it made it seem like she had amnesty, Gillian Anderson's character, which played off really well of her being a co-conspirator.
Yeah.
So we don't know where they're going.
Well, I think, what is it? Are they going to split the time slot up again? Because it's after Grimm. And I know Constantine, unless they buy the complete back nine, which NBC normally doesn't do with the Friday shows, and since they know they already have Hannibal in their back pocket, I don't know.
Now, did they wind up pulling up numbers? Is that it? Is that why they got another shot?
Well, what the deal with both Hannibal and Dracula is that they were made on a different licensing model.
Mm-hmm.
And they were made quicker.
Oh.
So it was, the production schedule was very tight, and the license fees, NBC didn't pay a whole lot of licensing on.
Oh.
For the show. So I think the licensing on Hannibal starts to go up next year. So if it comes back after next season, I'm going to be a little surprised. But they canceled Dracula because the licensing was going to tick up because the producers got the licensing kick a year sooner if it went another year. And that's why.
When you mean like licensing, I mean, Dracula, how does that work when you consider Dracula is practically open source, isn't it? Public domain?
Well, it's not necessarily licensing the characters, it's licensing the show.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the fee the network actually pays to make the show.
Oh, okay.
So like, you know, sometimes when you see something like from Warner Brothers, like the studio pays a certain part of it, and then the network pays a certain part of it. And then if a studio really, really, really wants to keep the show on the air, like for shows that have gone a really long time and their license fee should be huge, they will sometimes try to make a deal with the network so that they pay more of the production costs than the network does. So that the network will keep it on the air so they can get the show closer to syndication so they can sell the show. Because they have syndication rights, not the network.
Oh.
Okay. And I heard that Hannibal gets a lot of money overseas as well.
It does. It is a very big seller overseas.
Oh, so they followed the early Sci-Fi Network. That's how they got to be able to do sci-fi. I learned this from an entertainment lawyer. This is interesting. Sci-Fi has been always able to produce its own independent films because they knew the type of films worked well overseas. And that's why they had like a plethora of really bad Sharknados and whatever, because most of the time they prepackage the stuff to send overseas and they make a ton of money overseas.
Oh yeah.
And with Mads Mikkelsen, I can see him being a draw. And the thing is the show has a style that would work really well in an overseas market because it's so stylish.
It's very European.
Very European looking. Very European in the dialogue and the idea of a psychological, you know, when you consider how many episodes we're watching. I mean, it was almost like a tale of two seasons. You know, there was the Will Graham in the jail and then Will Graham in the chair, just talking. You know, and there wasn't a lot of action a lot of the time.
Well, you know, I think the giveaway on that is when you open the season with the fight scene that's at the end of the season.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, and the way they kind of build back to that point, I was a little skeptical when I saw that first. I was like, you're giving away the ending now, because the only shows that I've seen do that successfully are Not Made Here. So,
yeah.
So I was a little surprised that they went ahead and gave up almost the ending at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
But it kind of, again, playing to the fact of if it was – here's the thing. We all know what happens.
I mean, that's the other thing about this show.
We all know eventually he'll go to – he was never convicted. He went to an insane asylum, right? I mean, in the books, I don't remember if he was really, you know, convicted, but he was in – was
By Silence of the Lambs, they had caught him.
Okay. But – either way, we know how that ends.
Yeah.
So it's like, if they play it like, hey, here's the fight scene. My only thing is like, well, that's not the person who caught him. Will Graham was the one who gets gutted and caught him.
Yeah.
So it was actually kind of interesting. Like, okay, they'll play this up of, we all know what's going to happen. And I kind of like that from the get-go. It's like, okay, we'll see on how it plays down, like a countdown.
Well, the show is basically how awful can we make things for Will? It's kind of like The Following in that respect. How awful can we make things?
Yeah.
Really? You think that's bad? Let's go deeper.
Which is funny because, like I said, the amount of blood that was in that one episode. I mean, it was. You look at a fight scene in Hannibal. And the amount of, like I said, blood, because there is a lot of freaking blood in that episode. It blows me away on how much there is. And so when you look at something like The Following, you're like, oh, which looks more trite? You know, it's like, oh, you get capped and you're down. It was just... Although, it was almost an orgy of blood. And you know what? We can use that as a title for this episode. An orgy of blood.
Although, have you guys talked about The Following? The end of The Following already?
Yeah, we did a bit.
Can I just say, is that the reset button, really? Is that what that is?
Oh my God, I hate that ending. Yes, it is. No, I think so.
I don't think it's an effective reset. It's just...
No, but...
It's a suck button.
Yeah, it felt like a reset. It felt like we're just going to start over. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, it was a horrible ending.
Because here's the difference. Like, The Following feels like it was a reset.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody see the end of Person of Interest?
I did. Oddly enough, I don't really catch it that often. I caught it with my cousin.
That felt like a reset, but an actual kind of a payoff reset. which works, I think, is how far, how much further can you escalate this? That was great.
Well, here's the thing, and I made the comment. Now I don't watch it, but I already saw. All right, for those people, look this up. It's Colossus, the Forbin Project.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. There you go. For those of you, really look that film up. It's in the 70s, and it's about a computer that goes sentient. And one computer notices that there's another computer coming online, and that is the Russian one.
Yeah.
And basically, I told my cousin, I'm like, hey, this is Colossus, the Forbin Project. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, didn't you ever see this? So he calls his partner up. He's like, have you heard of the, Forbin Project? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's what this is. You know, that was that kind of take, which is kind of interesting for that show. They're going to probably, I'll bet they'll start utilizing that of how to thwart one syncing with the other, and one computer will battle the other type.
Well, see, I'm kind of, my thought on that is I'm kind of predicting that show's only going to go one more year anyway.
How many years has it been on? Three?
This will be season four coming up. And
well, do you think we're running out of shows that last longer than,
Well, as long as there are CSI and NCIS spinoffs, no.
But aren't those cheap to do?
They're cheap to do for the time being. I mean, NCIS, listen, the minute NCIS and, like, CSI drop below a certain threshold, CBS is going to get rid of them.
Well,
because A, because they can, and B, because it's going to get more expensive.
Well, but two, your demographic's aging, and apparently people
that's don't not watch a problem NCIS. For CBS.
Yes. It's like, oh, it's the Matlock for the new age.
That's not a problem for CBS, so.
Dun, 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 dun. It's like Quincy.
But again, it's even the fact that they aired Person of Interest to begin with surprises the hell out of me. So
I couldn't. My cousin said I could skip like the first season.
I would say only the first half of the first season.
Okay.
Because they establish once you get past. Here's the thing: they're always going to do Case of the Weeks. Case of the Weeks are going to happen.
Everybody does that, yeah.
Yeah, Case of the Weeks are going to happen. What they seem to do, and what they seem to do pretty well, better in the second season, where they started to kind of meld the Case of the Week into the mythology. Mm-hmm. So that it kind of had something to do with the overall story and what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to have done a better job with that. And also, they kind of used the Case of the Week and the flashbacks to kind of push the story forward, which is really interesting. And in a way, kind of like what Lost started to do, but never could kind of get to. But
yeah,
really interesting. Really interesting on the build on that show. So,
who is watching Fargo?
I have not watched it yet.
Oh my god, you guys need to watch that. You know how
I don't have cable, so.
Well, you know.
I know, I could.
Yes. I'm saying yes.
Mad Men's over, and I'm getting a season pass to it.
Okay, well, I can give you some copies when I'm in Atlanta.
Well, you could, but I want to give him money. I want to give Martin Freeman my money.
Okay. Well, okay. Do that. Because, oh my God. Oh, that show is biblical in its epicness.
Wow.
Mark my words. The last episode, I think
put that on the cover.
Wow. I won't say anything more, but oh my God. I mean, the entire cast is amazing.
Is it already over?
No, okay. No, but
it's 10 episodes, right?
I believe so, yeah. Are they at 10?
No, I think they're at like 6 or something.
Okay.
It's not done yet, I'm just saying.
They're taking points from the Coen brothers, and they're doing other stuff, but they're keeping it in that same vein of how they do Desolation really well. The characters, they've added new characters. Billy Bob Thornton is he's as good to watch, nearly as good to watch as Matthew McConaughey.
Wow.
Just on the amount of mayhem his character causes. I mean, here is a new villain that's almost delicious to watch, really. It's just like everything he does is like, oh, you grin and you cringe at the same time. It's that good. You're like, how? Wow, that's amazing he thought of that. His character thinks like in chess moves, several moves ahead of everybody else. And there's an interesting showdown at one point. You don't think it's going to get any worse, and it does. But yes, really check out Fargo. I'm not going to say so much until really people jump in on this, because there's just so much going on. And like I said, it's biblically epic with an orgy of blood.
Well, that was the plague in Egypt that they don't really talk about.
Well, there's the whole thing. There's this thing about plagues in this show. It's really quite
biblical.
Yes, biblical.
Oh, okay. I'd heard that.
Yes, but yes, check that one out.
Okay, so
can you have plague fleas in that much snow?
Oh my God, there's a scene with crickets in a grocery store. That's all I'm saying.
I don't understand.
You don't want that to happen.
I've never understood cricket. It makes no sense.
Cricket. Cricket. Cricket.
All I can say is, JJ, watch the Bollywood movie Lagan, and then it will make much more sense.
Ew.
You'll forget it, but it'll make sense at least for a while.
Laganga?
It's ba-da-da-da Laganga.
All right, good.
So Rox, we haven't talked about the end of Blacklist, have we?
No.
Do you know why we haven't talked about the end of Blacklist?
Why?
Because it was pretty shitty.
It was.
I mean, does anyone who care about Blacklist seeing the end of Blacklist? Although at this point, I would say, if you haven't started,
oh my God, yes. Okay, you know, so yeah, we watched it. I watched it with my cousin. And again, there's those moments that are really good. And yep. Then you're like, that's an NBC show, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, they did a thing where I'm sitting with my cousin and we're watching, and I'm like, oh my God, I already knew what was going on.
Well, of course you did, because I'm sorry, you don't bring in a character actor like Storm Air.
Oh, no, you don't, and he's not a throwaway. Unlike...
if they had made him a throwaway, that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
No. They did not.
It wasn't like Isabella Rossellini early on. I mean, they did have throwaway characters, but... not when all of a sudden you're doing this overall arcing thing.
No,
because
you don't.
She was a throwaway character.
You don't.
Cool as though she was.
You don't bring in a character actor who is known for playing quirky, weird,
yes,
crazy villains.
Yeah.
And go, oh, well, this is the red herring, isn't it? No, it's
yeah.
Not. Thank you.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. I saw through that.
I am so, you have now completely insulted my intelligence, and
yes,
I do that pretty well on my own, thank you.
Yes.
So anyway,
so does that mean congratulations, you get to go to Thursday night?
Listen, that ending made so little in the way of sense, and because I'm like, okay, so you're a badass, so why are you on a prison transport? You've been doing all of this from prison.
And so
we put you up. It like, not only did, okay, you know how some things will ask more questions than you give answers, right? This finale asks questions that don't even make any fucking sense.
No.
So, very disappointed.
So congratulations, Blacklist. You get to go to Thursdays and get beaten by a show that's written even worse, Scandal.
And it's such a shame, because when the show is on, it's on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so seldom on, you know what I mean?
It's again, it's like one of those Tale of Two Seasons. Early on it was fine with bits and pieces, and then it started collapsing. It was collapsing on its own.
Well, it's kind of the opposite of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, you know what? I thought that was fascinating in that you would, of the shows that you would say at the beginning, what are you going to bet money on that it's going to fall on its ass?
Yeah.
And I think we all probably would have not wanted to admit it, but would have said, probably Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
But because you have Spader, and especially if you watch the pilot. I mean, if you just said, okay, let's watch both pilots, right?
The first three episodes are really of Blacklist are great.
Yes.
The first one was amazing because the opening was just so tight.
Yeah.
Because you could basically tell that was the idea they had, and they didn't really have any other ideas.
Yeah. No. After they've set up the premise and set people on their way, they couldn't figure out what to do with it.
Well, and I mean, I couldn't give a shit about Tom even after it was revealed he was a badass.
No.
I did not give a shit. Which was sad because I'm like, it's not his fault. He was great. I thought the actor was great. It's mm-hmm. just that, you know, it was just so shitty. And every
all
time
the way around.
Every time it started to look like it was going to take off, it just didn't.
Well, that's because they did dumbass things, such as, you know, pitting one villain against another and she turns her back. We're all screaming at the TV. Why did you? No, you don't turn your back on any of these people.
And again, another show that was kind of hurt by really long breaks between episodes.
Yes. Yes.
But again, in the opposite direction of S.H.I.E.L.D., because S.H.I.E.L.D. actually picked up when they had continuous run. Blacklist had more episodes in the same time period, but it just felt like the episodes – there were longer spans between the episodes for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just because you thought, oh, well, this is a filler episode. I can miss it. Fine. And you keep kind of randomly flicking past it going – okay, that's a filler episode. Nothing's happening there.
You know what would be really cool is if, like, Netflix threw money at NBC and said, let us buy Blacklist, and they could merge Blacklist and House of Cards. And just get rid of everybody else.
Well, see,
you have James Spader and Kevin Spacey. And
I would have been so impressed. I would have been – Rox, I would have been so impressed if because for a while there, like at episode 10 – like the break,
uh-huh.
when basically the entire team was disbanded and Red was gone and all the shit. And I was like, holy crap. I was like, they just demolished their entire premise 10 episodes in. I'm really impressed. Well, then they kept bringing it back. It was like, oh, well, we don't know what to do if we don't have that. We just need to bring it back. It's like, no, don't bring it back. It's
right.
Like, look at S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like, oh, we just demolished the entire basis for our universe. And now we have to rebuild it. We're going to have fun rebuilding it. Whereas Blacklist, it's like, apart from Spader, like I think I said before, it reminds me a lot of the Borgias in that you watch that for Jeremy Irons, obviously having a great time cavorting with naked women and basically wearing cool costumes. And that's pretty much all it's there for.
Right.
But it's like the Blacklist, if they had had more episodes like James Spader crosses the world looking for the people who wronged him to basically fuck them up. Would have that like episode 11 or whatever it was, where that was the episode. I would have watched that. Could have been the James Spader revenge of the week. You talk about case of the week or monster of the week. Fuck that. James Spader pissed off of the week. I would have watched that for five seasons. Easy.
I would watch that woman who's his cleaner.
Yes.
I would watch. They did not. She was fucking amazing. I mean, here's the thing. You have a woman. I mean, this is how cool her character was. When she tells, I can't even think of her name. What is her name?
Keen.
You know, of like, okay, we're taking over now. You do exactly what I say. You know, when they did the little infiltration thing and she had her own little backup army thing. And I'm like, that is a badass right there. That woman, she needs to have her own show.
You know what? This would be awesome. Now, Tuffley, you remember how the Monitor started, right? For Crisis on Infinite Earths?
Yeah.
Where he just kept showing up random places.
Kind of like the Watcher.
Yeah. It was, but but with a purpose that you didn't know what the fuck it was, I would love her to be the go-to person for all the shows. You know?
Oh my god, it would be great. Oh, she could show up in House of Cards.
I wouldn't fucking care where she showed up. I just want her to show up.
Didn't Fox do that with the Observers for
Did they?
What was that show? The show that ended, John, the show that ended a couple of years ago.
Which show again? I mean,
the one on Fox with the Observers with the bald guys.
Fringe. Oh. Fringe.
Fringe, yeah.
Fringe, yeah.
They had this thing for like 3 months that they had the bald guys just randomly show up on all the Fox shows.
Really?
Yeah. That was their promotion for the series, that and the cows.
Huh.
Wait, they combined forces with Chick-fil-A?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
That explains so much.
Well,
we killed the podcast with that.
Yes, we did.
Oh,
I know you guys talk about Shield, every 15 minutes.
You know what? Fringe did have a really good ending. I will say that.
Yeah, I know.
It was good. It wasn't great, but ending.
I couldn't watch that whole last season because I thought that I would have appreciated, ending it in the current. I hate it when they go dystopian future. Suddenly, randomly, I just don't like that.
I like dystopian future.
Well executed dystopian future.
Well executed dystopian future. Not
because
just
you know what? All female elder statesmen look like they dress in Eileen Fisher clothes. Just saying.
But I know you guys already covered Shield. I think. But
well, we could talk about it some more because I really enjoyed it. In fact, I want to go watch that final episode again because I think, as we mentioned, they covered so much fucking ground with that.
Oh, yeah.
It was astounding.
I just wanted to say, if it means we get in humans and really real Mandarin, I'm down for that.
Well, I now, what version of real Mandarin do you want?
I don't know. I'm kind of curious. I do actually want to see how they come up with this. Because that seemed to me to be really real Mandarin, or where they were going to go with that.
Which part? What do you mean?
The bit where Reyna goes in and at the very end.
Oh, so that you think that's?
I think that's really real Mandarin.
Well, or quote unquote real Mandarin because it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
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 Interesting.
Because the guard looked a bit Ten Ring-ish, don't you? If you've seen the one shot.
Oh, I need to go back and watch that. Because I mean, originally from the first Iron Man film, I think everybody thought that What's-His-Face, the baddie, was going to be Mandarin, right? Mm-hmm. That was the rumor.
What they told us.
Well, because they probably either thought that at the time or lied.
Because if they play up the half-dragon thing, that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they literally play up the half dragon thing, and the reason Skye's an 084 is because she's part dragon.
Oh, I'm a dragon.
Game of Shield.
But no, I think there's. I think Ten Rings comes into play, which is, I guess, what they're going to call the hand in this because Wolverine took it already.
Oh, and can I just say really quick, going back to X-Men.
Yeah.
The best part of X-Men Days of Future Past was Quicksilver.
Yes.
Bloody brilliant.
That was actually pretty freaking cool.
Which is kind of funny. I mean, granted, I have not seen it yet. I will see it soon. But everybody was, when the first images of Quicksilver came out, everybody just couldn't get past the rather cheesy looking wig they put him in.
I think maybe most everyone's problem with that was that they were thinking that he was supposed to be an older Quicksilver.
Right.
And as it turns out, they kind of explain it away, really.
I've watched Evan Peters on two seasons of American Horror Story, and I'll let that kid play anything he fucking wants.
Well, first of all, as I think I mentioned before, I remember when the Wolverine costume broke, basically. And if you take a costume or even an outfit out of context and just not even just with the Wolverine costume, because it was a shot of a stunt person in it. So yeah. It wasn't even Jackman. No lighting, no effects, no nothing. But even taken out of context of a still, you just can't, you can't leap to the conclusion, oh, well, this is going to suck. Because in context, Quicksilver was great, costume and all. It was great. So, yeah, that was the most solid part of the film, which was hilarious.
But I think it's going to be interesting because I'm thinking they're using Inhumans instead of mutants.
You think so?
I think that's where we're going. I think the MCU is going to, instead of saying mutants, you're going to have scientific creations, which is, you know, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, and the Inhumans. Eventually show up or emerge.
Hmm.
Because you, especially with all the talk Raina was doing about people transforming.
Now, you know, the bit that they, and this could be tied in with the Inhumans as well.
Yeah, because they are pushing the Inhumans in the comics right now, so I'm guessing that's where they're going with this.
Well, but what I'm thinking is the thing that, especially if you're bringing in Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch,
uh-huh,
is the High Evolutionary.
Yep. You can go there too.
You could do Wonder Gore Mountain, and it would make total sense.
Well, you can do all three.
No, you can. I mean, they can tie in together, much like they've been doing. Oh, well, you put the centipede with the Hydra, and the you put your left foot in, your right foot out, and all that stuff. And
I think that's how I think that's how you get to the maybe fringe mutant characters that maybe they both have rights to.
Do we have a list by any chance? Because I'm fascinated by that.
I don't know. I don't have a. Because here's the thing, I always just thought straight down the line, if they appeared in X-Men, then they go to the X-Men, but apparently not.
Well, but I mean, as I think you mentioned before, that is so nebulous at this point.
Yeah.
Because you could make a case for most everything.
You know, it's like, or if you could go the revolving door of characters that appeared in both Avengers and X-Men.
Right.
Which, in that case, you have, you know, different versions of the Brotherhood, which included Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Right.
And you could include the second, Brotherhood, which also include Rogue, who, by the way, is only in like 4 seconds of Days of Future Past.
But you notice her billing?
Yes.
She's billed above almost everyone in the cast.
Shows boobies.
Well, here's what I'm getting to, Edge, is that I wonder if Rogue was one of the shared characters.
For Avengers?
For the MCU.
Really?
Well, because Rogue's in an Avengers book right now, where it was in an Avengers book in the comics.
Huh.
Currently. And I'm curious to see. Here's the other thing, and we were going to talk about Spider-Man if Kim was going to pop up here.
Oh, which I haven't seen yet, but go ahead.
But that's okay. Because you've seen the bit where the producers have said they're never going to use Miles Morales, right?
No, I haven't seen that.
The producer. Yeah, well, here's what I'm getting at. I'm wondering, did the producers say that because that's what they mean, they're never going to use Miles Morales? Or did they say that because they can't use Miles Morales?
Really? You think Marvel might have new Ultimate Spidey?
I'm sure they're checking fucking contracts, because here's the deal. When did those rights get made?
Long before Ultimate happened.
87, 88, because Venom's the last villain on the list.
Well, but now Venom came later, because Venom was at New Line for a while, separate.
Yeah, but Venom was the, they can go back and say Venom was the black costume, so.
Now, is that what they did? Because
that's what they did.
Oh, okay.
Because they said Venom was the black costume. The parasite was the black costume. So
okay.
That's because, and they used it in the last Spidey films. So Sony got away with that because it was on the fringe of the rights. But yeah,
start really playing some odd rights games too, because as soon as you start bringing in the black costume, then you can go, well, screw it. That means we have the rights to do a Secret Wars movie, which means we have Captain America and the X-Men and everybody.
Well, what if Fox and Sony get desperate enough, you're going to see Secret Wars because they have the Fantastic Four and the X-Men.
Well, but remember,
and Spider-Man.
The animated version of Secret Wars that they did where they just basically used whoever they had.
Yeah. And the animated rights are different because Marvel has everybody in the animated rights. So there aren't any different animated rights. But what I'm saying is it's entirely possible, and I'm sure Disney sure as hell is checking those contracts, that if they can get away with having – because also, and I'm looking at – I've been reading a lot of Ultimate stuff that Bendis – there are enemies exclusive to the Miles Morales incarnation
that
you could credibly get away with in a film. That aren't the classic rogues gallery who would be absorbed by the Sony rights. So it's entirely possible you could make a Miles Morales Spider-Man movie work in the MCU.
Interesting.
And also because, and JJ, you'll know this more than I will, they are making kind of a big deal of bringing Miles over to 616 right now.
It seems that way, yeah.
Yeah, because he's got, there's an all-new X-Men appearance lined up. And then he's in the big Spidey crossover.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, Miles is a great character, so the more they want to do with him, the happier I am.
Yeah. But Bendis is bringing him over to All New X-Men at least for an issue or two, apparently.
Yeah. Well, and I know they want to do another Spider-Man crossover.
Yeah. But I thought the All New X-Men thing was interesting because Bendis writes both of them, so that could work.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's entirely possible. And again, Disney is checking the contracts, I would imagine, but Ultimate could be fair game.
Shit, they might be able to get away with Superior too. Well, no, because that's Doc Ock.
No, because Sony's got the rights to that.
But Peter's back, so it's all good.
Okay. We'll leave it there.
What am I missing?
No, it's fine. They're doing a fine job over there.
Somehow I don't believe you.
They're doing a fine job over there. No, actually the first Amazing looked really nice, so I can't really bitch about that one too much.
The only person I know that read it that's talked to me about it was Aaron, and he didn't care for it, but he's a pickier geek than I am.
I think I had the Pavlovian response that Marvel wanted, which was, oh God, they've got Peter back. So I'll look at it. Okay. I give. So yeah. that was kind of the response they wanted. So, all right. I keep telling Kim, one of these days, I know you love the books now, but someday they will break your heart. They'll do one crossover too many. Enjoy this now.
I've told her that too, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
We've all been there.
Well, is there a way you can find those books and, like, burn them or let her not know?
Actually, you know what she's done? She's done a very good job, and I'm very proud of her for this. She's been avoiding the crossovers.
Yeah.
She's been avoiding all of the crossovers, which, because she's reading the Avengers books and they do one like every quarter now,
yeah,
I have no idea how she's able to do that and keep sane, but she does. So, you know.
You know, I hope she can stay gold, Pony Boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well done. Well done. Points. Well done.
All right, soda pop.
But, you know, there are those of us who felt that, you know, Spider-Man hasn't been quite right since Todd McFarlane took him over.
Ooh, wow.
McFarlane ruined Spider-Man. I'm throwing down the gauntlet. He broke him, and he has not come back properly since. Rump.
Spider-Man in the Daily Comics, you know, Aunt May is dating the, you know, the King of the Moment. Oh,
that's its own. What Stan Lee does in the Daily Strip is just batshit.
But it's batshit crazy fun.
But you know what? Stan's earned batshit.
Oh, yeah.
Stan's earned batshit.
Yeah.
I mean, the DC, Stan Lee reimagines the DC universe.
Oh, my God.
That was completely batshit.
That was insane.
And he earned that. He earned the paycheck from that.
Oh, yeah. No, when I say batshit, I say it with all due admiration. I mean, this I'm somebody that when I saw Stan Lee at Dragon Con and, you know, he was like 50 feet away from me, but just seeing him, I spontaneously broke into tears and I was like, what the fuck? Really? it was like a 13-year-old girl seeing the Beatles in the 60s. I mean, I called my girlfriend and could not stop. Like, just, I can't believe this. This is so weird. So, I mean, I get it. I love the man. He can do whatever he wants.
Oh, I know. Do you know, like, when I was doing the parade, what was it, last year? Year before. And I was near the guy that has the Mark V. Mm-hmm. Stan Lee pulls up. And he's like, I want to get in that car. Well, yeah, go ahead. And the owner was like, have at it. You know, and Stan Lee hops in and the five, and everybody swarmed the car because it's like, yeah, it's Stan Lee. You know, it was great. It was awesome. That must make him feel really great. I hope it does.
Well, and
he'll live forever.
I will say that his cameo in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is probably one of the best he's ever done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
now, did it, he just did the one cameo? Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's going to do one cameo per season.
That would be great. I would be totally down with that.
And it would be great if just inexplicably he's somebody else. He's not the guy from series one.
Right.
As much as I dislike the first Fantastic Four movie, I will say that is one of my favorite Stan Lee cameos. I mean, Stan Lee as Willy Lumpkin made me incredibly happy.
Well, I mean, how else would you cast him? I mean,
yeah.
As your crazy neighbor. That's how I would, you know.
Well, yes, but you've got that market covered.
This is true. All and they did that next time for me.
Yeah. Well. See, they can do it again now because it's been retconned, so it's fine.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
We can do that.
We've got nothing else to do.
Yeah. Really. Why not? All right. Fine. We will do introductions then, and we'll do it starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Of Weekend Justice, your internet orgy of blood. We're here in the hall of Weekend Justice, which is soaked in blood, and I will endeavor to introduce the Weekend Justice League, going from my right to your left. We have JJ is with us. Hello, JJ.
It's so much quieter here without Lee.
Kids, don't do drugs. We also have Tuffley's with us. Hi, Tuffley.
Where's the mop? It's blood and it's slippery, and when it coagulates, it's,
oh, health and safety is gonna be all over us.
I know, and then they're gonna make us wear vests.
Oh, I'm already wearing a vest. Are you not wearing a vest?
Didn't you get the memo? Yes. Doc sent a memo.
Okay. Yes, health and safety. I'm wearing a vest right now.
That's all he's wearing, but that's okay.
I didn't get a vest. I only got water wings.
You're only a new guy.
I got floaties.
Get water wings.
I got a rock. We also have Rox's Spaz House. Hello, Rox.
The Rock has a vest.
Blood has iron in it, you know. Just saying.
Yes, it does.
And it's biblically epic.
Which is why Magneto can fuck with it.
Right.
And, of course, John from the Neat Geek is here. Hi, John.
Hey, that's my line.
Wow. I don't remember that.
What have we not talked about?
Rox, do you want to say anything about Mad Men, or have you seen it yet?
I have. I didn't see Sundays. We did talk about, you know, his... I'm not sure on how I feel about it, because there's only two episodes left, and then we don't get anything till next year.
No, we're done currently. It's done.
It's
was
done
this the
done?
Last one?
Wait, no, I thought it's no.
No, it's the seven have aired already. The seven have aired, and then it's done. It comes back next year.
That's what I'm saying. Not till next year. So we only get seven.
The last one was Sunday.
Really? What happened? I don't care. Just what happened?
They killed Cooper.
They killed Bert?
They killed Anderson Cooper?
Yes, they did.
Holy shit.
It was a very special episode of The Mole Widge.
Wow.
Oh, why'd they kill Bert? How did he die?
Yes, internet, I just did a mole reference. Thank you.
Wow. Why?
And they let Robert Morse have a dance number at the end.
But
it's so fucking weird.
Oh my god, they did really like a Bob Fosse thing?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't really utilize Robert Morse. Is that because he's just getting up there in age? Because, you know, the thing I liked about him is they used him with more pop culture references. It's like he read Ayn Rand, he met Ayn Rand and stuff like that. So he was up on like the arts and stuff during that time period.
So not only
and the whole Roger thing, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't really honestly I didn't really care about, you know, getting this episode because honestly I didn't really care about this season.
But let's see. So I'm just going to tell you because you can then go back and watch it and feel like you've learned something. And you can probably skip three episodes because that's what Mad Men does. That's the way it works. You can skip three episodes. Still not going to miss anything. Maybe a nipple, but that's fine.
Yeah, that was epic too. Not as biblically, but
epic nipples.
You know, it seems like all shows we must mutilate and maim for us to get ratings. Can you imagine this happening on Murder, She Wrote?
Well, I can imagine it happening on Murder, She Wrote now.
Oh my God, there should be a reboot.
I would imagine Murder, She Wrote would be reboot and that Angela Lansbury's really the killer every week.
God, yes! Yes! And she lives next door. Holy crap.
No, she doesn't even live anywhere. She just goes in an RV tour of the United States.
Oh my god, like the old days of like The Fugitive and stuff. Keeping one step ahead of the man.
She's trying to stay one step ahead of Samuel Jackson.
Wow. I'd watch that show. I would watch it. Okay, so I honestly didn't like this season.
The first episode, Don, the last episode,
only
basically
hit rock bottom for a half an episode.
No, it was basically continuing misery.
It's continuing misery because what? Megan and everything, or
it's just continuing misery. Here's the thing, Kim doesn't like Mad Men, but she likes Mad Men for two things:
clothes,
the pretty, pretty clothes, and whenever anyone makes Don miserable.
Okay.
Just for the look that John Hamm makes when he's very uncomfortable. So.
Which is everybody, really. But it's like miserable in a mundane way. a very pedestrian kind of way. It's not we've been that whole Matthew Weiner has been making this thing seem like a tragedy. And it doesn't really this season doesn't seem we've been waiting for the tragedy.
Yeah.
Really. His hit this whole downfall. We've been waiting for this. It's been disappointing because Sally is such a good character. He's the only, you know, he is his child, and he's the only one he's honest to.
Well, yeah, but if the show ends with him falling off of, jumping off a building, that's going to seem a little anticlimactic, doesn't it?
Well, not to rocks.
No. We had to live through the following.
Oh, no, that's just going to be reset, that's all.
Yeah. Oh, my God, can you imagine?
No, he jumps off the building and lands on Kevin Bacon.
Here's our reset where advertising becomes fun in the 80s. And Don becomes the Robert Morse of the 80s.
Oh, no, Widge, you know what? They could do Mad Men like the way they did Life on Mars and Ashes to Ashes.
Don is the one
that comes up. Or they just keep bringing Don Draper back every time, and it's actually
Don is the one that comes up with the Ridley Scott advertisement for Apple in the 80s, as he is playing Robert Moore. That's how that works.
I was thinking it might be his last hurrah when he creates the ad campaign for New Coke.
Wow, that would be a Don. Yeah, that's where he would fall off. No, I'm not happy. It seemed honestly like they jumped clothing as well. I'm not a big historic person on how quickly fashions change, but it seemed like the whole, you know, Jackie Kennedy look, all of a sudden it jumps to what was worn on the Brady Bunch in the early 70s. I'm probably wrong.
Well, Brady Bunch is what, 69?
69,
70s. And it started in 69, I think, wasn't
it? Yeah. Right, but what year are we supposed to be in? 67?
No, we're supposed to be in 69 because of the moon landing.
Really?
We're supposed to be in 69. Actually, Bert dies at the moon landing. Bert dies watching the moon landing.
You know who I wouldn't mind seeing? You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Roger die. This should be a the weekend should be, you know, the thumbs up or thumbs down. And we just flash characters up or down, vote who should die. I don't care for this. Oh my God. Okay, so all right, what we can do is tie this in. The computer that's used at Sterling Draper Cooper Price could be the persons of interest computer,
which
later.
Is also Artem Zola.
Yes. Well, actually, there's an interesting
the Forbin Project computer.
There's an interesting kind of link between this season let of Mad Men and the person of interest season, because they had Amy Acker's character at one point. She installs a cellular antenna and a speaker into her ear.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone takes the bone out behind one of her ears because she's basically connected to the machine via earpiece.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually had a part where she actually put in a cell antenna and a speaker inside the part of her ear that they took out so that she can still hear the machine.
Oh, okay.
And of course, Ginsburg. The computers made them do body modification.
Yeah. Which is weird because the whole Ginsburg thing, I'm kind of confused.
If Wolven's listening, we've just woken him up.
Well, I'm confused about his character because, A, he wasn't like Stan, who was big old pothead. He never... And there was never any he was stressed out, but there was never any indicator of
that he's just gonna go full blown psycho.
That he's there's no I'm schizophrenic or anything. Well, he's been a model son to his dad. So I don't know where any of this
that kind of came out of nowhere. That sort of came out of nowhere, and I don't really because I was watching the episode going, they're going to make him go nuts.
Yeah. So I'm like, again, it's like everything they've done and they haven't done anything with really Don's ex-wife.
By the way, kids, here's a lesson. If you can't, if you attempt to throw yourself on your superior, the person you report to directly, and they reject you, the next thing you should do, you should absolutely cut your nipple off and give it to them.
Yes.
Because oh my God, that was so weird.
Yeah, and you might get that vacation you need.
Just make sure it's sterile. That's all I'm saying.
You know what's really sad is the kid that plays Draper's boy. It's like, oh, look, he's got lines and everything, and this is such a shitty season. What a shame.
Oh, madman.
Oh, well. But I was really hoping more for Sally.
I hope Sherpa gets something else after this.
I do, too.
I really hope she gets something else after this.
You never hear kids her age with that kind of a deep set voice.
Yeah.
It's very adult and everything, but she's got this kind of style and everything. I really do hope she does well.
I really hope she gets something else after this.
I mean, I was interested when they made Stan, right? A partner.
They didn't make Harry a partner.
What?
They didn't make Harry a partner.
Oh, thank God, because he's such an asshole.
No, he was haggling over the deal, and they basically shit on him.
Good.
Because here's the thing. Here's the funny bit, and I'll go ahead and tell you this because you can watch it. It's fine. But apparently Roger set up a deal after Cooper died to sell half the company.
Oh.
So everybody gets rich. So Joan is not mad at Don anymore for like blowing the $1 million when they were going public.
That's why she's
been mad at him. Apparently Roger set that up because the Harry Hamlin, yeah. Which by the way, he grew up to be creepy, didn't he?
He was. If anything, he was the one. We all have those people to watch, and Harry Hamlin really owned that part. He was really good and creepy. So now here's the thing: when they first brought him in, didn't he have whiter hair?
Yes, he had whiter hair.
Okay, yeah.
He had whiter hair, but they kind of had a line in an episode about him darkening his hair.
They did. Okay, I must have walked because when the room or something.
Because they did the merger, they did the thing with the merger, and Ted makes some offhand comment about his hair being darker.
Okay. All right.
Because he's like, he has to hang out with the younger people.
Yes, but he's
something like that. Yeah.
Such a creep. Yes. But I liked watching him. I really, yeah. he was a really good bring on.
Really?
He was creepy in Clash of the Titans.
He was creepy in Law and Order.
I didn't think so. The first time I'd seen him was in Mad Men, and that's the first time I'd seen him in a while. And I thought, oh, he looks creepy now.
Yeah.
I didn't think that before. I don't know why, but.
Yeah, if anything, he really had that cool, you know, that 60s kind of weird, creepy vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glasses and stuff.
But apparently he's been trying to break up the firm and kick Don out and everything. And the only reason he votes for the other firm buying half of it because it's a lot of money.
Who's the firm? Is it the guy in the
– It's McCann. It's
okay,
McCann.
All right. Okay.
Which was the thing Don was trying to get the job with earlier in the season.
Oh, by the way, spoiler alerts.
Thank you.
Here's the thing.
They kind of did their own reboot because they've done that before.
They've done that before.
But that is the nature of that business. You know, it is. I'll watch next year. You know, I'll finish up this one. But I am like not committed anymore to that. I'm sorry to say, that's what's going to happen with Walking Dead, because that's how AMC works.
Well, here's the thing I find interesting about the Mad Men thing too, because the ratings have been down,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like Mad Men was getting Walking Dead numbers to begin with. Because
No.
The only thing on AMC that gets Walking Dead numbers is The Walking Dead.
Correct.
I found it interesting that the ratings kind of declined after the season premiere. And even I think I've looked at the finale numbers, and the finale numbers are like 1.9 million or something, which is lower than 2. And I'm thinking, here's what I'm thinking.
It is?
I'm thinking the reason that's low is because people are going to wait and binge watch this 7 before the next 7 air.
Yes.
Because
yeah,
people
because
are thinking,
it'll take forever.
Yeah, because people are thinking, why should I watch it live? And everybody who's going to talk about it on the internet, including us, are going to be done talking about it like after this episode airs, and we won't talk about it until the show starts back up again. So they'll just binge watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not like Breaking Bad where, you know, it's not people finding the entire series and then coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of the people who have basically found the show have found the show, and that's basically the only audience they're ever going to get.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's what happened with, oh God, what was that? Well, it's like, what, the Top of the Lake is another one. I mean, they're hit and miss.
Although Top of the Lake is interesting because I thought there were more episodes to it. It's sort of the, it's sort of the Fawlty Towers effect where I thought, oh,
yeah,
that felt like 2 seasons. Oh wait, and it is coming back. They are doing another year of that.
Right.
But it sort of felt like that felt longer than it actually was.
Okay, so moving along. Okay, so
Leave Mad Men behind. Let me just say that ever since you said Cooper died, I've been holding on to the right moment to drop a Brotherhood of Man joke, and it just happened, but let me just go ahead and say that. Now I feel better. Like how to fail at making a podcast joke without really trying.
There you go.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay. What?
Points.
Point. Who saw the trailer for Broadchurch remake? Fox has got Grace Point.
There's God.
There's a trailer out.
Accent.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing about.
That kind of sounds Minnesotan, doesn't it?
The thing is it's
instead of in Fargo.
Yeah. But it's like it's like shot for shot. Right. Has everyone's seen Broadchurch, right?
I actually have not.
Okay. Oh,
fantastic.
Don't spoil it for JJ, please.
No. Well, all I want to know is if they are bringing it to the United States, do I still get to hate on Skyler?
What?
I wish I knew what that meant.
The American version, they're bringing Skyler from Breaking Bad in as the female.
She's the Olivia Colman analog. By the way, that's a band. The Olivia Colman analog. I'm sure she's pleased.
She listens. It's gold. It's good.
It's fine. Although, you probably can, because she's not Olivia Colman. It's fine to hate on her.
Yeah.
Although they are doing the second season of Broadchurch in the actual Broadchurch in the UK, and everyone's apparently coming back.
Oh, really?
Including Tennant and Coleman. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that is.
Huh. I still have no clue where the hell they're going with this after the first season, but oh my God. But I don't know if it's another case. I don't know if they're just going to deal with.
It's going to be another case, right?
I don't know if they're going to deal with. Well, no, I think it would be more interesting. I don't know if it'd be more interesting if they don't jump to another case, or if it was just the continuing after effects of what happened in the wake of the murder and the reveal. So, kind of an interesting place to go, I suppose, instead of the next case, because it feels if they do another case, it feels kind of Twin Peaks ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think they can avoid that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a letdown. Sorry, but I would like to be surprised, but I feel like it might be.
Yeah, part of the problem is that. I mean, honestly, the first season was a letdown in that you could not come up with a reveal that would be as cool as the characters that led you to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was my problem with it.
Well, see, I didn't – here's the thing. I didn't mind the reveal. I totally didn't mind the reveal. I was fine with it.
What?
Because I was right, but I wasn't right for the reasons I was right. No. So basically because I was right. But
yeah, they sucked me back into the following with that. Beware that, my friend.
they made you right once, so you had to stick around for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Luckily, I'm done though.
No, and I remember this was – it was great because Kim and I had these great like Law and Order – because we based this on Law and Order. So we had like the Law and Order version of how this was going to go, and there was a drug deal's gone wrong and shit. And just weird – all sorts of weird theories about how this could work.
Oh. What I would have loved – what I would have loved is yes. you need a Law and Order mashup in which David Tennant cracks a Lenny Briscoe joke.
Oh yeah!
Ooh, yay!
Prologue. Wow, that's what now. That's what I call a cliffhanger. Dum dum da 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 da. That would be fantastic.
He needs to do it in his new Minnesotan American accent.
Okay, lovely people. It looks like I'm going to have to sign off.
Why? Why? JJ? Why?
Is the building Wi-Fi shutting down?
Oh my god, yeah, you're on that community network or something.
No,
do you need to like go in, put a quarter into the slot machine?
It's rocks, it's like an old party line. So basically all these other people are going to be coming on the podcast.
Oh my god, wouldn't it be funny if we had that? And you just have people going, oh, so what are you doing this weekend?
Oh, my God.
Oh, did you see Gerald? Actually, oh, my God.
That was awesome. Lee earlier, so it's okay.
I was kind of wondering, what was chat roulette like? Oh, there it is. except I didn't see anyone's dick, so it's fine. And Scott wasn't on, so it's fine.
Is that still around?
Chat roulette, I have no idea. It's probably dead. It's probably in the same netherworld that MySpace is in.
It's been replaced with chat. It's Rock's been replaced by Chat Pachinko.
Yes.
Ooh.
A lot more balls.
Ooh. Tinka, 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 tinka. I don't know what.
That was a Farinaked Lady song. Sorry.
So.
A lot more balls.
AJ, you're balls. Still here. Why are you saying you're going and you're not going? But you're still here.
He was trying to say goodbye, and we kept talking over him. Go
so
ahead, JJ.
Long, bro. Get the fuck off the line.
Oh, buddy's gone. Rock scared away.
I was trying to set him up for a very good goodbye. I was gonna let him do the song that Robert Morse did at the end of Mad Men, but no, he just left. Okay, fine.
So we should. Let's talk about him now. That hair.
Okay, so the number one thing that bugged the shit out of me about X-Men, now that JJ's gone. Okay.
Blink playing Portal.
What's that?
Blink playing Portal.
No, Blink was fantastic.
No, that was fun.
Blink Fastball Special. Can you say it?
Yes.
That was amazing. Yo, what the fuck? Oh, nice.
If you've never wanted to play Portal, but were just interested in how it looked, there you go.
Yeah. So, I was even fine with Bone Claws, even though I fucking hate Bone Claws more than anything else on the planet.
You know, I thought about you the second Bone Claws came up.
You hate sleep.
I hate Bone Claws worse because Bone Claws are so bad they make me want to sleep, Rocks.
All right.
No, but like I said, it wouldn't have made any sense to have Wolverine with metal going up against Magneto, especially a Magneto who had never tried it before and was like, oh, this could be fun. So that even made sense. I was fine with Kitty having the inexplicable time phasing power.
No, I'd see that really bugged the shit out of me.
No, but see, Toughly, here's my thing is that I was so enjoying. That entire – they distracted me with the whole let's kill off all these people and then redo it thing.
Yeah.
because that, to me, that's like straight out of Age of Apocalypse. One of my favorite things of Age of Apocalypse, the comic series, was that the fact they wiped out the entire Generation Next team.
Yeah.
Wipe them the fuck out. I mean, just bang. It was amazing. I've never. That's probably the first time I'd ever seen that in a Marvel comic of just, oh, you know what? We're going to reset this when it's all done anyway, so let's just fucking kill all these people. So I was actually pretty cool. And in addition to that, you had them using their powers in cool ways, like the blink thing, and you had Bishop. And so I was just distracted. And as I've established, if you distract me so my brain shuts up, yeah, then I will let you get away with murder.
So you let the kitty thing murder.
Let the kitty thing go.
Yeah.
Let the kitty thing go. Let lots of other things go. Okay. I was so happy to see X3 get retconned out of existence. I even let the fact that Xavier said, "Oh, you're back," go when it was established that Wolverine was going to be the only person who knew that anything had changed.
Well, see, okay, so well, from that scene, I kind of gathered that the professor just read his mind when he walked in the room.
But you need to establish that.
Well, hold on. As far as that one is concerned,
mostly because Wolverine let him.
Well, no. He would have known him as a younger guy. Because remember, that would be him older. So he would.
No, I know.
So he could just say, "Oh, this is the point you came back to." That's basically it. Because when he said, "I don't know what's going on," he figured out, "Oh, yeah, okay, you're back now."
The point of saying that Wolverine was going to be the only person who remembered
the future, that happened. He'd be the only one that would remember the future that happened. That's what they said.
But then you would also have... But if everyone who was back there would remember, then Beast would remember, and so would Magneto, and so would Mystique.
They would remember the previous... Okay.
John, here's the problem. He never went back to begin with. Because there was no future to send him back from.
Well, okay. We're not going to seriously get into time travel at this point, are we?
No, but see, that jibes with what they said, which was, I would have been fine with it had they not specifically said, you are going to be the only one who remembers how things were. You're going to be the only one who remembers. So that was my whole thing. And I even would have been fine with the professor reading his mind and going, oh, fuck, and remembering.
Well, see, I thought that's what he did. That's how I read that scene. When he walked in the room... After Jean leaves, the professor reads his mind, and that's how they know. That's how he knows.
If they had made a point of establishing that, that would have been fine. But see, here's the part that really bugged me. That I was even going to let slide, but
because there's like a really long pause after Jean leaves the room and Logan starts to talk.
Yeah, so I don't know.
From that, I kind of read in that bit, once Gene's left the room, Professor X read his mind.
So what you're saying is that Bryan Singer forgot that there aren't thought balloons in movies.
Bryan Singer forgot there aren't thought balloons in movies.
Oh, there you go. So here's the part that bothered me.
Did you see The Usual Suspects? He already knew that. No,
but see, The Usual Suspects actually held together and made sense.
Well, okay.
What?
So did you... Wait, I want to make sure that I know this. You liked X-Men Days of Future Past, right?
I did.
Okay. And you loved X-Men 3, right?
What's that?
Nothing.
I loathed X-Men 3.
Loved it. Okay, you loved it. I got it. Okay.
No, X-Men 3 was such shit that not even Ian McKellen can make your dialogue. If Ian McKellen can't make your words sound good, Ian fucking McKellen, then you have problems.
Yeah. We've said this before.
Yeah, I know. But here's the part that bugged me. All right. Xavier grabs control of Magneto after the really cool I shot him through the neck, which was really awesome. But part of the thing I liked about the film is that for the most part, you know how in comic book movies where people don't do what they would do with their powers creatively?
Yeah.
When they've been using their powers for like a decade and they know all the tricks, but they don't get creative. And you're sitting there going, I don't have your fucking power and I could fight this battle better than you can. You know, like in the Wolverine, I'm the best there is at what I do. but I'm going to get taken out by ninjas in 30 seconds. Okay? Well,
the best that he was doing in that film was sympathizing with bears.
The bears.
That was the best thing he was doing in that film. So, you know.
So anyway, Xavier grabs control of Magneto. Okay. Has control of him. Basically, Magneto says to him, if you turn me over to them, they're never going to let me out. You're never going to see me again. I'm going to be dead. And Xavier's like, yeah, sorry, sucks to be you. And then, so it's established he's turning Magneto in because you have to. I mean, he picked up a fucking stadium.
And dropped it on the White House.
Yeah, and basically almost took out the entire administration. He is out of fucking control.
But although, to be fair, that was the Redskins stadium, so I'm sure everyone's fine with that now.
Nice. But you would establish you would have to take him out, okay? Or turn him over or something. But then he flies away. And then what is it? Somebody says, oh, you're letting them go, as in Magneto and Mystique. So he says, oh, I'm going to turn you in, and I'm sorry, Eric, and then lets Eric go. But if he made him fly away, then why did he make him fly away? Because Eric, if he had his powers and control of himself, would have turned on them again. So that made absolutely no fucking sense. It's almost like two versions of the script collided. Or maybe that's where the retcon started happening. I have no fucking clue.
Well, here's the thing in that sequence, the thing that I was wondering, the thing that I thought they were going to do is split up and have somebody go after a Mystique's blood samples that they already had. Because why make a point of that if you're just not going to do it? Because they make that point several times. Oh, but they've got her blood samples anyway, so the future still happens.
But what they did say was, they made a point of having Dinklage in the lab going, well, I need more of it. So I was like, okay, well, he has enough to establish that this is what he needs, but he needs more of it. I know, it's flimsy, but...
It's flimsy because if at that point the future doesn't happen, then it should have faded then. Because the entire escalation of that was caused by everyone trying to get... Yeah. It makes no sense.
No, that I am willing to go. I'm willing to say, hang on. I'm willing to say Armageddon rules on that, because as long as you tell me, oh well, we've covered that because he needs more of it. Okay, fine. Can we get back to throwing people around and fights? That'd be awesome. Can we do that? And admittedly, as I have said before, I am a sucker for in continuity, time warping crazy shit. Which is why I was so impressed with the Star Trek non-reboot, is that they basically, you know, did it in continuity. Like Age of Apocalypse, I loved, because it was in continuity. Now, you redo it, like House of M, even, I enjoyed the hell out of it, because I'm like, wow, in continuity.
And that's why I kind of think I'm curious about how they're going to do Apocalypse, because it's supposed to be Fassbender and McAvoy and Lawrence and Jackman. So it can't be current continuity because they've just reestablished current continuity. So it's got to be another flashback movie.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
Totally fine with. Because, I mean...
But I guess we get them in the 80s. So they're doing the Life on Mars, Ashes to Ashes bit.
I'm actually totally fine with that. So, yeah, I enjoyed the film because it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And you had shit like the breakout sequence with Fassbender and Quicksilver, which was amazing. I mean, that's the best use of Jim Croce in recent memory.
That would be ever.
There are only so many uses of Jim Croce you can have.
Well, that was well spent.
I'm sorry, John. Was that what you were going to say?
Well, no. John? I just said that there's never been any good use of Jim Croce.
Oh.
Okay.
Damn.
Well, until that point, right?
Okay. All right.
Well, he was going to go lower than I was. All right. Good.
When in doubt, go lower.
That's Lee's motto.
That's my wife's motto, too. What?
Whoa! Warning. So this weekend we've got Maleficent and A Million Ways to Die in the West, which I really want to see.
God, I really want to see that movie.
Oh, man, somebody's going to get fucked up. That looks ridiculous.
Has anyone seen the Equalizer trailer?
No! Is it out?
Yes.
Fuck!
Dude, Denzel.
Watch I know it. Denzel. But is it good? Does it look good?
I thought it looked good.
Oh,
but
nice.
But it's just a trailer. It's just a trailer, though. It's hard to get worked up about it.
But still, if you're not
Denzel,
But my thing is this: if you're not gonna do a new series in which Warren Ellis is the Equalizer, and it's and instead of Robert Mitchum, he gets replaced by Alan Moore, then fine, Denzel's fine. But I mean, dude, if Warren Ellis pulled up in Edward Woodward's car with his fucking cane, you would shit yourself, okay? He wouldn't have to shoot you. You would shit yourself to death. And you know it. He wouldn't even need a bowel disruptor. You would shit yourself.
Warren, if you ever come back to Dragon Con, that's your entrance.
There you go. Yes. Hell yes.
There's your Equalizer theme. We'll pay for you to come over if
we
you
We will
do
a Kickstarter to rent you the car. Rent you the fucking car. We'll do the opening credits.
Well, John will find the theme. It'll be fine. We'll just play it.
Ah, the Equalizer. You know, Rox, you're like the Equalizer. You could totally be the Equalizer.
That's right. I can
be. You're the hobo Equalizer.
Yes.
With a top hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's an odd job top hat, too, so she can throw it and kick people's ass with it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised that hasn't gotten a reboot.
There we go. This can be yours, Warren. Operators are standing by.
This music was been for the new trailer was remixed by Skrillex.
Ooh.
No, I have to say, I am fascinated by the actors who have now become your go-to badasses. Really great actors like Denzel and Liam Neeson are now your go-to badasses. And part of the reason why they're so effective is because they can act like such a badass. I mean, Book of Eli was shit, but Denzel in it was amazing. That is worth watching for all the fight sequences and then Tom Waits' cameo and then take it the fuck back.
Yes.
God, what a fucking horrible ending.
Yep.
But God, the fight under the overpass where he's got his like machete, his weird whacked out machete, and like takes out four guys. I was like, holy fuck!
Actually, you know what? I didn't see the ending of that. Was it the same as Zardoz?
Was it
the Wizard of Oz or was
no,
it?
No, it was. It
did they change what the book was?
Oh God, it was awful. Just okay. Toughly, if your theory is it was the Wizard of Oz, go with that. It's better than what the ending was.
Well, no, from the original film, the book was The Wizard of Oz, but
the original film. Oh, Zardoz. Sorry.
Yeah, Zardoz.
Sorry. No, but if your theory is that the book was The Farmer's Almanac, go with that. Okay, because that's cooler. if your theory was that the Book of Eli was really one of those bathroom readers, go with that. Okay. Doesn't matter what it is, go with that.
I thought my theory was that it was Pet Sematary.
Darling. One of the most fucked up endings of a book ever. I told you about that. That was my first Stephen King book, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it? Really?
I read it in high school because everyone was reading it. And I was like, well, I was at the doctor's office and it was going to be like a huge wait. I forget why. And so we actually ducked out to a bookstore. And I went, oh, I've seen people reading this. What the fuck is this? So I picked it up, read it, and just was completely engrossed in it, finished it in the middle of the night. And if I won't spoil the ending for anyone who's read the book, because it's an amazing ending. The ending just made me go, fuck. Yeah. And then I immediately went to the used bookstore and bought every King book I could find.
Yes.
What age do you think Stephen King's appropriate for?
Depends on the book.
Yeah.
Because like Eyes of the Dragon is great for like Young Adult.
Young
is a young adult novel.
Actually, and I would say Eyes of the Dragon and the Talisman.
Yeah.
Well, see, here's my problem with the Talisman. There is a lot of brutality in that for no reason.
It was in my high school library.
Unnecessary brutality was in your high school library?
No, the Talisman.
No wonder you didn't read much. No, okay. But it doesn't mean anything. I'm saying it's probably fine. It's just what I didn't like that book. And part of the reason is I have a problem with just, again, brutality for no reason. Where it's just like, well, let me just beat this character up. And there's never going to be any resolution to it. He's never going to get revenge, or it's never going to mean anything.
Yeah.
It's just he's here and we can be mean to him, so let's do it. That bothers me. So I couldn't really get into it. I would say, though, and I tried listening to the audiobook, which broke my heart because Frank Mueller did the audiobook version.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because the whole werewolf character, you didn't notice it until he got to the point where he turned.
Yeah.
But he made his voice get gradually gruffer and deeper and more growly to the point where when he changed, you're like, you realized what he had been doing. You're like, you're fucking genius. That was amazing. But no, a Talisman, I mean, yeah, but I sort of have that. That's my reservation with it. I mean, it might be cool. I would also say Salem's Lot's pretty tame.
Mm-hmm.
Respectively thinking. I mean, the Dead Zone doesn't have much awful stuff in it, but it's got some really fantastic themes in it that I don't think you would get until you're older.
I would think one of the short story collections might be good, too.
Yeah.
Like Night Shift, maybe?
Night Shift, yeah.
Does that got the Mangler in it? Is that the one?
Yeah, but that's not so bad. I mean,
it's not really bad.
Yeah.
No, there are some stories in. Is it Night? Which is the one that has that one where there's the
I can't remember
that drives a little convertible through the little magic road. I mean, there a lot during the early years of him doing short story stuff. It's like the Dolores Claiborne. He tried different items, and I think I can't remember which collection that there were some stories. Oh, it's like Shawshank, the story that Shawshank is based on. That's a good short story.
Yeah,
Rita Hayworth.
Is that in Night Shift?
No, it's Different Seasons.
Different
Seasons had Shawshank. It had The Body, which turned into Stand By Me.
Yes.
It had what was the third? Because the fourth one's The Breathing Method, which was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Which was just amazing.
That actually might be better than Night Shift if you're going to go there. But
Breathing Method's I mean, that's a bit of a fucked up pregnancy story.
Yeah, yes, it is.
I was looking at
Night Shift. And that was a good way of doing like a 19th century type story.
Oh, yeah, because he had the frame story, which was my favorite part of it.
Uh-huh.
Because if you're a little kid and you read it.
Oh, Apt Pupil.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Somewhat. It's a bit fucked up.
I would say I think it's really fucked up for a young adult.
Yeah. It's a bit fucked up.
Maybe now, Needful Things wouldn't be bad because it is about.
Yeah, it's not.
I know, but
it's not the best one. But
it's not a good book.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So I'm looking at Night Shift here. You got Jerusalem's Lot, which was the epistolary one.
Yes.
You have Graveyard Shift about the rats. You have Night Surf, which was sort of tied into The Stand, which if you're a kid, you just won't understand it because it's a bit deep. I'm the Doorway, which is science fiction gold. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The Mangler, which is a great horror story. The Boogeyman.
Oh, my God. I like that one.
Gray Matter, which is a great one. Battleground, which was the one with the toy soldiers, which is awesome. Trucks, which is a great one. Sometimes They Come Back, which is but it's not so bad. Strawberry Spring is about the serial killer. The Ledge is fucked up, but it's okay. Lawnmower Man is very fucked up. You know what? Of the ones in here, the one that fucked me up the worst was Quitters Incorporated.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a fucked up premise. Children.
What about the Bachman books? I mean, there's the...
The Bachman books are a little bit darker than his other stuff.
And they're not as good.
Yeah.
I mean, part,
like, it's like dark chocolate.
Well, part of the problem is this. The best one of the bunch, I think, is the long walk.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say, if okay.
But well, no, let's just say this. The reason I didn't like it so much is because they reproduced the paperback cover inside it, which gives away the fucking ending.
Oh.
It shows you the last man standing and his number, so it's very clear that he's going to make it to the end. I was so pissed. I was like, no! So all I can say is if you do get the Bachman books, don't get I got the first edition. I don't even know what I did with it, but I had the first edition because I got everything first edition from Stephen King, and stay away from it because you'll know. Right. Anyway, I'm sorry, Rox, what were you going to say? Long walk.
Oh, you know, it's sort of like a King's kind of I can see where that's a good way. It's that fantasy kids have. Or no, not the long walk. What's the one where the kid, the one that he got really into trouble with?
Rage?
Rage, yeah. You know, well, where he holds the classroom hostage.
Well, that's interesting because I was reading on Wikipedia, which is always right. The collection and the novel Rage, he allowed to go out of print because of a high school shooting.
Oh.
But right, they've published the other three books as separate novels.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't.
Where is this list of stuff here? Where is this list of stuff?
Because the thing is, you can't really start with Dark Tower because Dark Tower goes really dark really quick.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah, you can't. You shouldn't do that.
No.
Let's
you
see.
Know, here's the thing. I remember I was walking through the airport one time, and this was like a number of years ago, not too long, and there was this kid carting around a Silence of the Lambs book, and I don't think this kid was like seventh grade, and I'm thinking, what are your parents thinking?
See, here's the problem. I was reading Clive Barker when it were about seventh, eighth grade.
Oh my god! And
I know,
yeah, and he's very. Yeah, I didn't read his stuff till in my 20s.
But see, here's the thing. I was reading Sandman as it was coming out, so that was about really that region.
Yeah, see, Clive Barker, the books of blood are much. The only thing in Sandman that comes close to Barker is the diner issue.
Well, see, I the storyline that I actually started reading Sandman going monthly was Doll's House.
Oh.
So,
okay, so you skip the diner, basically.
Yeah, so everybody's going, oh, okay. So I don't know how I got from there without reading that bit, going from there to Clive Barker, but I was kind of reading that and Clive Barker at the same time. So
right. So
I mean, considering in my defense, you know, in my growing up, I would say at that time period in the slate, you know, early 80s, you know, you have your V.C. Andrews books, which are pretty bad in itself. And when you start off with a V.C. Andrews or even,
my sister,
you know, Judy Blume and, you know, Forever and stuff, you know, you can jump to the other stuff.
Yeah, my sister had a very brief V.C. Andrews period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Did Kim ever read it?
V.C. Andrews? Oh, God, no.
Okay.
She actually read books, so.
Hey, there are books!
No, seriously.
They got words. They have words.
Right. So I got his list of books up. I would say, like I said, Salem's Lot. I would say Firestarter.
Yeah,
good.
I always thought that was a short story, but that's a full blown novel, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, 426 pages.
Okay, I don't know why I keep thinking that was. Well, okay, I read The Stand after that. That's why I thought it was a short novel. That's why. Never mind.
Yeah. So Firestarter is good. You get introduced to the shop in that, which is a great concept.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yes.
I would say maybe Christine.
Christine's not that bad.
No,
that's not a bad one. No.
Depending on, I'd need to look at Skeleton Crew, but that's got some good stuff in it. Eyes of the Dragon, definitely.
Which one has the mist in it?
Oh, Skeleton Crew. It opens with the mist.
Yeah.
The mist is fantastic.
It is. It, to me, that's like the nearest perfect short story film or short story.
Yeah.
The King.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's a novella, right?
Yeah, it's a novella, yeah, technically.
Okay. And the thing is, it's kind of such a different entity from how the movie turned out that you can enjoy it on its own kind of level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's still, that to me is, other than I Am Legend, to me, that's your go-to book of how quickly civilization, you know, crumbles. That's your go-to handbook.
That's your play school. My first.
It is. I mean, you just
my first dystopia
reference. It's your reference book. Okay, we have the crazy religious woman over there. You know, it's like it's your profiling book.
Stephen King presents Play School's My First Dystopia.
Yeah, I'm looking. There's a lot of the stuff that comes after that. I'm like, Although I will now, I will. The last one that I listened to is 11/22/63, which we talked about, which is not good for kids, but that's a really good novel.
It's a good one, and you know what? I'm so glad he's open of letting his family read and help change things, because Joe's
been like that.
Joe, I know.
Tabitha's always been. I mean, remember Tabitha fished Carrie out of the trash.
Yeah.
I know, but we all have problems with his endings.
You're right.
And this time, Joe helped the ending on that one.
That's true.
And honestly, it's like, oh my God, he got it. He got it. It's a really good ending. And we've all been disappointed in his endings, and I was not disappointed. Yes, it started doing that. The thing I always say, it's like King has this pace.
Yeah.
Till three quarters of the way, and my theory is, and it feels like this, that an editor or whoever calls up and said, the press is open. Hey, do you have your book ready? And then it starts going really fast.
Well,
fast, like there's action. It's just like we're skipping over crap.
Well, I think it's mostly that. I mean, he just can't. He's such a great storyteller, because he can make most things readable. You know what I mean?
He's eminently readable. A world builder on a small scale. He gives so much detail of the environment that the place, it's like under the dome, and this is where CBS got it wrong and Broadchurch got it right. The place is a character.
Right.
They got it wrong. And King does that. And that's why I love I know The Cell was a dicey one, but I really loved it because he pared his writing style down, got rid of the environment technically, and went for action, and it worked. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
for him coming out of his, you know, therapy and all that after the accident, I thought that was a great experiment. And that's the way I see most of his later writing. It's like, hey, I don't have to prove anything.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at, you know, I know a lot of people are down on Dolores Claiborne and Gerald King.
I'm not.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, because I think you want to be Dolores Claiborne in some respects.
No. It's that whole idea of he gets what other writers have done. It's like Faulkner with Sound and the Fury of,
right.
Okay, your first chapter fucks you up because it's through the mind of a mentally handicapped man.
Right.
And here he's literally writing as a woman who has barely an education.
And the entire thing is one long monologue.
One long monologue.
No chapter breaks, nothing.
No.
It is so that and Gerald's Game, which is, can I write a novel that takes place in one room?
I know, and I'm sorry, that is one I couldn't read. That was your fucked up book. To me, that was my fucked up book.
Aren't they doing the movie on that one?
Really?
Gerald's Game?
Yeah.
You could.
Well, no, they're doing it.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah.
Let me see. Because I could see you doing that, like, you know, Closet Land style.
I forget who it, but I know they're doing it.
Well, Lars von Trier is doing it.
Oh, Christ. Jesus Christ. You bite your tongue, woman. My God.
You know, he would be the one that can make that book fucked up even as a movie. I mean, no, really. Really.
Oh, God. No, listen. Listen. Lars von Trier, like, you know,
he hates women. I mean, this is a perfect book.
If he directed, like, The Little Prince, it would be fucked. I mean.
Oh, wow. Lars von Trier's Little Women.
Oh, okay. So here it is. Let's see. What is it? The guy who directed Oculus, the Karen Gillan film.
Yeah.
So.
And I think King's one of the producers on it, because so, he had said something about the director with after he'd seen Oculus. So I'm surprised at that.
Interesting.
I would like to be a fly on the wall at these meetings with King and these directors, because there aren't too many of King's films that translate well, and he knows that.
Well, he knows that, but then they basically said, what we're going to do is we're going to get AC/DC to make an album. And he's fine. Okay. We're good with that. That's how you get Stephen King. Okay, Stephen, we're going to get AC/DC to make an album for your movie. Okay.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do.
Well, let's see. What have you got that's good? You got Creepshow, which was good.
Yeah.
The Dead Zone was good.
Yes.
I like Firestarter as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
George C. Scott as the bad guy? Hell yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, was it a perfect adaptation? No, but it was a good movie. Stand By Me is the one that improves on the book.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the body didn't know when to end.
No.
Let's see. Pet Sematary was decent.
Well, yeah, it had Fred Gwynne in it.
Well, that and it had the guy who was the ghost.
Yeah.
Remember? I'm sure everything's going to be okay. I'm not.
Yeah.
Let's see. The first half of It, the miniseries, was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Then the second half went right to shit. Misery.
Misery Holy was fuck. Good. Misery was good.
Holy fuck.
I thought Tommyknockers was okay. I like Tommyknockers.
Did you? Yeah. No, really? Yeah. Actually, Tommyknockers was a terrible book.
No, it was a terrible book, but the miniseries was really
good.
They
had Smits in it, right? Jimmy Smits?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Although
everybody was losing their teeth. Yeah.
I did a comparison, that versus the book. The miniseries is better.
All right.
Well, the best part of the book was, you guys couldn't figure out how to do an AC and an DC converter? That was great.
Langoliers was crap.
Yeah. Let's see. What was I looking at? Fuck. Shawshank Redemption, of course.
Yeah.
Which is the origin of the term Shawshanking.
If they had left Golden Years to the 8 episodes, it would have been fine.
Oh, mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They tried to make it a TV show after the miniseries should have ended, and felt wrong.
Okay, here's my question on that one. Does anyone remember the original ending where what's his name actually gets caught by the shop?
God, it's been forever.
Well, see, because there was the ending to the miniseries, and then they came back.
Really? Because now the ending you see is the one where him and Francis Sternhagen just sort of evaporate.
Yeah. Right.
And that's not the ending I remember when I first saw it. And I saw it first run on, you know, it was
CBS.
Summer thing. Yeah. CBS. There you go. CBS screws everything up.
Well, see, no, it was originally a miniseries, and then they came back for like 5 episodes a couple of months later when they canceled something, I think.
Really?
Huh. Or at least I remember it that way. So yes,
it's like the miniseries nobody could remember. It's weird. It's the amnesia.
Well, see, Golden Years was after The Stand. Golden Years was after The Stand, so CBS got that one because they thought, oh well, everyone watched The Stand.
Golden Girls. So
yeah.
Well, and the Stand miniseries was about as good as you could want it to be. I mean,
I liked it. Yeah.
Well, Rob Lowe was fucking amazing. Oh my god.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Now, Apt Pupil, it should have been so much better.
Okay, yes, it should. However,
and that was Bryan Singer. So,
yes,
but here is where Apt Pupil, you really see how Ian McKellen's been in films, but here you really fucking notice the man. When he's in the kitchen and he's smoking a cigarette and that cigarette is in his fingers and he runs his hand through his hair with a lit cigarette, that is fucking acting. It's like, how is he doing that, not lighting his hair on fire?
Well,
I was really impressed.
Now, Roxy,
did you experiment with that?
No, but after seeing that, I'm like, hmm.
Now, Roxy, you know who was originally supposed to play that role, right?
No.
Well, apparently it was James Mason, but then he died. And then it was Richard Burton, but then he died. And then they had the version that they ran out of money for was Nicole Williamson and Rick Schroeder, who at the time was 17. And my understanding is that King saw the 40 minutes that they finished and said it was fucking amazing.
With
Nicole Williamson and
really, and I like Nicole Williams.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, he was the wizard he was Merlin basically.
Yes.
What you call it?
Excalibur. Yeah, James Mason I love.
Oh, he would have been amazing.
He would have been good because, he played Rommel. Yes. And, he was in Lolita, so he was like one of the first, actors to say, whenever he played technically a bad guy, he's like, no, I play them all like heroes in my mind. It's awesome. Well,
that was what I showed Cassette First Class because she had missed it. She didn't see The Way Homer to get ready to go see Days of Future Past. And I did we were so struck again by how good Kevin Bacon is in that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, startlingly good. And what I liked was that Vaughn said, well, yeah, he plays it like he's in his mind, he's the hero of the movie, which is so totally right.
Yeah.
And it's a great way of approaching playing a villain because truly you go, it's like, it reminds me of the, Tuffley, you've probably heard, I don't know if you've heard this, Rox, the Mitchell and Webb skit about the Nazis.
Yeah.
Basically Mitchell going, so have you noticed the emblem on our caps? Well, it's a skull. It's like, well, yeah. So what? It's like, are we the baddies in this? No, we're fighting for the fight. Yeah, but we got to choose these uniforms and they're covered with skulls and lightning bolts. And this, I really think we might be the bad guys in this.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. But, and you know how in fiction where, the bad guys really start to get the upper hand, but then something happens and then the good guys come back and in the end they win. Does this seem like it's following that at all? It is one of my favorite skits of theirs because it's so perfect. If anyone doesn't listen to that Mitchell and Webb sound, find it because there's some brilliant shit in there.
I think they did that on the sketch show. I think they filmed that.
Oh, they did. They turned around and did, but it's I'm thinking, well, you might find it on YouTube, but
I think it was Mitchell and Webb. Look, it wasn't Peep Show.
Oh yeah, no. They adapted a lot of their audio stuff to Mitchell and Webb look. But yeah, it's really good. Well, we should do recommendations. We should.
We're getting late.
What? Yep. Now? Yeah. So soon?
We got 2 minutes.
Yes, now. So who wants to go first?
I will.
Go, Rox.
Okay, all I've got it's summer reading. Well, I know it's Memorial Day has just passed. Anyway, I picked up the short stories of John Cheever. Okay.
Ooh.
Yes. There
Real quick, Rox, there is an audio version of a bunch of his stories.
Yeah.
Which has one was the one about the radio.
Enormous radio. I love
yes.
that.
Yes. Glenn Close, I think, reads that, if I remember correctly.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Just real quick, John Cheever, apparently, get this. There's also a biography about him, and apparently he totally fabricated this way of speaking like Thurston Howell III, even though he had no business doing that. Anyway, I've been interested in like whoever gets referenced on Seinfeld, and in Seinfeld, George Costanza's fiance Susan, her father apparently had a romantic affair with John Cheever. However, John Cheever really came to prominence writing in the like late 40s and 50s, and he wrote a lot for the New Yorker, and he wrote for the the leisure class, and even people that deal with the leisure class, and his prose are really amazing.
Yes.
So he is my summer read. Enormous Radio is a really it's basically people listening in on their neighbors and stuff.
Fantastic.
The Swimmer, talking about adaptations. Okay,
right.
It's not a great adaptation, but
Burt
if you
Lancaster,
love
right?
Burt Lancaster,
yeah.
Burt Lancaster is amazing. They adapted The Swimmer. It's a cool idea because if you're in an area such as Connecticut and everybody's getting in-ground pools and stuff, here's a guy who swims home. Won't give anything away, but the idea is he goes from neighbor pool, and it shows a downward spiral, which is lost upon, Mad Men, because it takes place around that time period. So if you want some kind of feel of what the 50s and the 40s and 50s were like, John Cheever, there you go. Done.
Rox, it was not Glenn Close. It was Meryl Streep.
Either way,
yeah.
Either way, I can see. Wow, I'm gonna
other,
get that.
The other readers are Edward Herman does two, ooh. Blythe Danner does two, George Plimpton does two.
See, and these are people that can understand
yes.
that New York State,
yes.
New England type thing. Also, going back, it's like also during that time period, it's sort of that weird time period. I'm going Shirley Jackson. These are people. That understand that time period, it's the mid-century and things changed and Edward Herman, he's perfect about, doing upper middle class.
Peter Gallagher does too. And Cheever himself reads too.
Oh, wow.
So they've got archival stuff of him reading.
Wow.
So yeah, it's Harper.
But the short stories, I mean, it's, the cool thing is you can pick it up, put it down, and I've had this book for a long time, and it's like 700 pages, and I'll tell you that the type size of the font is freaking small, so it is dense. But you can spend 20 minutes reading one of the short stories and stuff. And there are certain authors that really know if there's anything I enjoy the short story format. And for me, short stories last with me a lot longer than novels do. So, yeah, John Cheever.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do I have to ting you again?
What?
Do I have to ting you again?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Well done. All right. Toughly, what you got?
Okay. The thing about summer is that I tend to pick music. I usually tend to change up the music I sort of pick for the summer. It's odd. I'll go more toward dance records than I'll go toward like rock records. It's odd, but there it is. So I'm going to start with the most absurd thing I could find, which is Chromeo's White Women, which you know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chromio's white women. If you can picture in your head two guys from Canada trying to be like the funkiest 80s synth band ever, that's basically Chromio.
Yep.
And it's really amazingly good stuff. I really like Lost on the Way Home, which is the track Solange is on.
Okay.
I really like that one. I think that's the fourth track. But it's a really fun, really good record. White Women from Chromio. Robin and Royksopp have an EP coming out pretty soon called Do It Again, which is really cool. So I will recommend that. I think it may be out. I think it's out in the UK this week. I think we get it next week, I think, is the way that works, maybe. So there's that. And the new Little Dragon record.
Oh, I haven't heard it yet. Is it awesome?
It's pretty good.
Nice.
It's quite good. And I'm going to screw this name up. It's I think it's Nambuma Rubber Band, I think is the name of the record. I think I just screwed that up.
That's fine.
That'll let me know. Anyway, the new Little Dragon record, I'll get that too. And I think also Silver Surfer from Marvel. Tad is a really fun book. I could just recommend that for ages. That's just such a fun book. The Mike Allred Dan Slott book. It's so much fun, and it looks great. Very Kirby-esque. It's very much very fun. So I'll recommend those.
Cool. All right, is that you?
That is me. Yes.
That is you. All right, fantastic. Hi. Thanks, Duffley. John, what you got?
Come on, are we serious?
Yeah, we're serious.
Go to neatcoffee.com/Amazon. That's my recommendation. That's, I mean, why ask why? Just try Neat Coffee Dry.
Because we're big on prohibition. All right, John is absolutely correct. If you go to neatcoffee.com/Amazon, because we all shop at Amazon anyway, because we have too much sense to go out in the world where there's people and traffic and shit. It's more user friendly and it's more environmentally friendly. Just do it. If you go to neatcoffee.com/Amazon, if you do that instead of going directly to Amazon, it'll take you directly to Amazon, but we get kickbacks and we thank you for that. It really helps us out. So two quick things for me. The complete series of the Bob Newhart Show is out from Shout Factory. I believe that's this week as we record this. Some bonus bits on there. There's an unaired pilot, a couple of anniversary specials, and some audio commentaries. So it's really cool. Couple that with your Newhart Show, so you can get the joke at the end and you'll be fine.
Full drinking game. Binge on that shit.
And also, I will recommend. I've been sampling the tracks from it, but so far everything that I've heard has been cool. Is the came out in February apparently. The Plus Minus album, Jumping the Tracks, is really nice. Sort of like alternate indie, somewhat jazzy, I would think, type of stuff. But it's really good stuff. I was looking on Amazon. I don't know. There's like, I don't know if it's just not out here yet or what, but you can find it and listen to it, so it'll be good for you. So yeah, Plus Minus, and the band
isn't that on Spotify, but it's not. You can't buy it.
You know, I think that's where I caught it from. Yeah, but the band is spelled plus symbol slash minus symbol. So yeah, another one of those where you gotta have to spell it out and hope for the best. So there you go.
Click, click, click.
Click, click, click. Yep. and all these bands now that are everything is the THEE something, or they've like, what is it? How do you pronounce? Isn't it pronounced churches? But yes, it's spelled with a V.
Yes, you pronounce it churches, and that record is so good.
No, it is. I mean, it is. But I'm just like, guys, what is this?
and by the way, that record is hitting again. Apparently, Recover is actually in the charts right now, which is weird because we were listening to that last year. So I think Recover is in the charts now.
Weird.
I know. It's like, because normally our span is like usually 6 months ahead. So that one's hitting again. So that's weird. But the Bones of What You Believe by Churches, we'll throw that in there.
Yeah, that's good. No, that happens all the time. I remember when Gnarls Barkley finally hit, I was like, I've been listening to this for 2 years. I got the demos. What the fuck?
Oh, have you heard anything from the Black Keys record?
No.
Okay, well, it's the best thing Broken Bells has never recorded.
Wow. Okay.
It's another one where Danger Mouse produced it.
Oh, okay.
It's another one that Danger Mouse produced, and I would have liked it better if he had just gone the Gnarls. If he wanted them to sound like one of his bands, he should have gone in the Gnarls direction. So
be it.
Yeah, but it's a really damn good Broken Bells record that they didn't really do. So there you go.
Cool.
That's not really saying any much, but there you go.
Nice. All right, well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Weekend Justice.
Oh, you know what?
What?
We got to mention Wizard.
Oh, that's right. So this weekend here in Atlanta, we're Tuffley and I and Kim. And special guest Madman are going to be doing a couple panels at Wizard World Atlanta Comic Con. Yes, we're right up there with Norman Reedus and Karen Gillan on their roster.
No, we're not.
Yeah, they both listen. It's cool. So we're going to be doing a Make the Bad Men Stop on Saturday and a comic book movies panel on Sunday. And if you've been to any of our panels, you know how it goes. It's going to be utter and complete chaos where you call the shots and we just talk until people tell us to stop. So I believe both of those are like 12:15 in rooms next door to each other, A314 and A315. Check your local listings.
It's the shed next to the bigger panel.
Yes. Yes, that's why they call him Michael Two Sheds Tuffley.
Yeah.
So yes, we will be there this coming weekend and should be fascinating. Georgia World Congress Center.
Join us.
So, all right, so yes, we have.
Now you can end the show.
Yeah, I can. So. So we've come to the end of another episode. Now we've come to the end of another episode of Weekend Justice. And just like every time we convene and try to unconvene Weekend Justice, we sort of stand around in the wreckage looking for something to pry this fucking plastic off of this thing so we can defuse the podcast and go away. I think it's time that we all stand around and stare at each other and say, steakhouse.
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 So, where the blood is biblically epic.
Yeah, there's still the epically bloody floor here. Is somebody going to do something about this? Do we have cleaners? Can we call them?
Scott.
Oh, God. Scott, don't take the week off. Come on.
So we'll go with Scott.
Go get them off.
What in the world?
Go get them off in the squeegee. Come on. Let's go.
Grand says so.
Did I just get kicked off?
No, you're still here.
When the world happened.
You're still here.
You're still here.
We're all still here.
It's the blood. You
can't get out of here. It's that hangout thing.
God, that's weird.
I've got the stepladder. Who wants to leave with me? Just Tuffley, I'm using the stepladder. Come with me. Get out. Get out now. Watch that step. It's kind of broken.
I think that's how they figured it out in Amityville. There's blood on the floor. Maybe we should move out.
Yeah. That was unfortunate. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Your Weekend Justice number 217 presents Orgy of Blood. Was a production of NeedCoffee.com. The show is engineered and produced by John Boutel. The league roster for this podcast was, in order of how many times they've had an orgy of something else, say, pizza or chocolate, John Boutel, Tuffley, Rocks of Spaz House, J.J. Hawkins, and Lee. This episode was directed by T. Quillen from a script by Din Drain and Doc Ezra, with additional material by Cesar J. Amigo and Gerard De Leon. All blood cleanup after the fact was performed by me, Widget Walls. Special thanks to everyone who sponsors the site and makes shows like this possible. If you've already set up your easy reoccurring micropayment at needcoffee.com/support, then you are a one-person orgy of awesome. Which sounds more perverse than it actually is. If you haven't given, though, it's never too late. Go to needcoffee.com/support and throw some coins in the virtual tin. Thanks in advance for doing that. It really helps us out. And now, here's the coda.
I'm just gonna talk to the people of the internet. Hello, people. People of the internet. Hi. I'm gonna amuse the hell out of Widge and John when they edit this. People of the internet. There you go.